phone know who is here?
Gene 6.
We'll start with Mr. Medina at the end there.
Worth, PM, Portland District. Jeff Ammon, Portland District.
Brian Bissell, Bonneville Dam.
Ida Royer, Bonneville.
John Rarsis, Portland District.
Deb Bowes, Division.
Tammy Mackey, Portland District.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
Brad Eppard, Portland District.
Tom Morris, Triffitt. Hugh
Rotten,
Sam. Our intern.
Trevor Condor, NOAA.
I guess I'm the manager this week.
Sean Tackley was sitting here. Steve Schlenker, CORE.
Ed Meyer, NOAA.
Gary Henry, Portland District.
Okay. Cindy was going to come down, and so she'll be here for Bert. She's got a meeting at 10, but Sandra's here. So let's go ahead and jump over to the down to the avian stuff on the agenda. So Sandra, take it away.
So for the casting turns, we are monitoring the alternative sites for this year. And we are, I'm still trying to work on the construction of Hayward. We have not gotten any that
Brad, much. Excuse me.
Yes.
You're really going to have to, sorry, ask the people to step up close to a microphone.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
You put there.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
Whoever talks.
Great. I appreciate the idea, Tom. See if I can help you again in the future.
It's not me. It's Blaine that we call again.
It's Katie.
She's worse.
Nice. So as I mentioned, we are this year monitoring the Caspian turns at the alternative sites. BPA is funding the monitoring of turns on East Sand Island. And we are still trying to work on the construction of Hayward in San Francisco Bay. There has not been any more movement on that since the last meet.
Will there ever be?
I'm continuing to beat my head against a brick wall.
Mm-hmm. That's sounding pretty.
I've heard it's reinforced.
it's more than reinforced. We have not given up hope.
Yeah, that's. We talked yesterday a bit about that in the different meetings that we had. And I think that we do need to refocus, I think, that effort. I brought up Bear River Refuge, and Michelle McDowell's going to look into that a little bit to see if maybe there was something there, because I was out there last week, and it's in Utah, Salt Lake, and it looked real promising, I thought, for a turn island, and there's been some issues, but we don't know what they are, so everybody has issues, but the program is floundering a bit, and
yes,
it needs help.
So
with, maybe
with Salt Lake, would that
Great Salt Lake in Utah,
not
the North End,
not a marine site.
Oh no. Well, it's saline.
Yes,
but it's not marine. No, it's in it's north of Ogden, Utah. And it's a wildlife refuge, and there were Caspian terns. There are a few, lots of foresters' terns and gulls, and there's a small island that looked like it was just sort of accidental island that was actually being used by colonial waterbirds, and I thought, maybe there's a chance here for the Corps to look into that a little bit more rigorously, and so Michelle is going to look at it from the Fish and Wildlife. It's a refuge, Fish and Wildlife Service refuge, and so they're going to look at that a little more carefully. But my point is that we need to be looking, if Hayward's not going to work out for us, we need to be looking for something else. I think that's the only way this program's going to work. And I think having a separate discussion about that, not here, but
yes,
in the bird avian predation arena is appropriate. With Walla Walla District and the inland work as well.
So one of the questions that I would have is, Hayward, we're looking at is 0.66 acres.
Right.
Is that enough?
Right. That's a good question, and it may not be. This isn't the place to bring all these issues up, but I do want to talk to folks in the avian predation arena a little bit more about these alternative sites for turns, because I think maybe our model is broken a little bit on that. So,
yeah, well, I guess my follow-up is, what is our current status of current habitat we've got? Because we're still not able to put the rod, and that's
right.
What we're getting a lot of pressure from my commission is like going, why haven't we met rod turn nesting pair obligations? We have been at this for several years now, and we're still not down to the number of turns needed, and the only way we're probably going to get there, or at least to test the theory, is to get down to 1 acre mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make sure we've got enough acres to meet the 1 acre. Does the Corps view, do we have enough offsite mitigation to squeeze east sand down to 1 acre?
So the rod was 1.5 acres?
No, it's actually one. Or, well, the key is for us, I mean, this is our understanding of it. Now, we could be totally wrong, and then I'll let lawyers argue about it till the end of time. But the point being is, the rod, from our standpoint, the most critical driver of the rod is to get turns down to a certain nesting pair of 3,100 or 4,200 pairs. Pick your favorite number. I don't care.
Right.
Right now, we have not met that at all. So in the rod, it allows us to go to 1 acre. Right now, we've tried the 1.5 acre. The turns have basically proven to be much more adaptive and willing to nest in much tighter density than we thought they would previously. At the, what we 1.52, I think, this year?
Yeah.
Approximately.
Yeah.
No. The rod allows us to go to 1 acre. So we need to figure out how we can get to 1 acre to see if that's going to get us to the nesting pair number. If that doesn't do it, then we're going to have to do some new negotiations
right.
Figure out how to get to there.
Right.
And so until we get to 1 acre, we're kind of sitting in this reinforcing circular loop where, hey, are the offset mitigation done? No. Can we go to 1 acre? No. Are we at the rods? No. So we need to figure a path forward so we can figure out how we can use tests if the rod is achievable under current, I guess, outlines that are in the rod.
Right.
So there's current questions with that. I'm not disagreeing with that at all.
Good.
But some questions.
I'm from my lawyer then.
Nice. There'll be some questions with the construction, since the last one that we have on the table is Hayward, which is 0.66.
Right.
Do the math, it gets to 0.33.
Well, if Hayward's never going to happen, then it's just a non-issue, and or non-word, I guess, non-site. We need to move on beyond that, and you know what I'm concerned about is that even the acreage for acreage model that was set up originally in the settlement agreement may not be a very good one from a turn standpoint. And what I'm concerned about is I don't want us to set things up, move the turns off, have failure, and have to invite them all back again. So I want to make sure that this thing works all the way around from both. I mean, Critfix wants those birds off, and so do we, but you know, to a certain number. But also, I want to make sure that when they do leave, they don't all end up in Crescent Island or potholes or somewhere else in the basin. I want to make sure that there are sites that are out there that allow them to mimic their historical movement patterns that they've had over eons. And I'm not really sure that we're learning more as we go along, and I'm not sure that kind of understanding was present when the original settlement agreement was done and the rod and all that stuff was done. So I really want to talk to folks about that. there's other sites out there. We really need to, I think, redouble our efforts to look for other sites. So it looks to me like we're able to move maybe 200, maybe 300, 400 pairs to these sites. But I don't think they're going to take many more than that. So are you going to be able to move, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 birds to those sites? It doesn't add up to me. It just doesn't add up, particularly when the sites are failing because of either dry weather or because of construction problems or whatever. So that's really not for here. I don't think that's a Fitterwig issue. I think maybe the construction of the sites is a Fitterwig issue, not so much the whole program. So, but I guess the point would be to have a separate discussion about that as soon as possible.
Completely agree.
With Walla Walla.
Yeah. And where are we? Because we had the one island fail. So are we rebuilding that? What's the game plan on that one?
That no decisions have been made regarding Dutchie.
Okay.
We need to have I know that.
So it's still
poor. No, it's
not even there.
It's moved.
Gone. Okay.
We yarded it out and some nice landfill at this point.
Okay.
We need to have. I know that Joyce has wanted to discuss this with the A&T if that is the best location to construct another one.
Right, right.
What is the plan? Should we try somewhere else?
That's what we need to talk about. But then construction, I don't know how much Fitterwig, you know, what belongs in Fitterwick. We talked about that yesterday a little bit at the AMT meeting, is what, you know, SRWG is probably where most of this fits under, because it is research, how much fits under Fitterwick, which is mostly construction and engineering.
Yes.
So maybe more, you know, for this group, the island construction part of it's probably more important than the
how we're constructing versus biology. Where we're constructing.
So no decision has been made. When is one expected? Or, you know, is
we've got to go through the process.
How do we kickstart that? Because I don't want another year to slip by.
Me either. No.
I believe it's going to be discussed with the AMT. We can add it to the next agenda.
We need to have that regional. That's going to be an SRWG ad hoc meeting to talk about AMT. I mean, the whole adaptive management approach for for turns.
Is there a meeting schedule already?
I don't believe so. I think we just talked about that. We don't have anything that's. Cindy, do we have a
meeting that's an SRWG?
AMT.
Yeah.
No.
So that needs to be pulled together. And I know at the Monday's meeting, SRWG, we talked about getting a inland meeting together with David Drakenbarg, and I don't believe that's happened yet either, so that might be something that those two could come together as a mega meeting.
SRWG?
That's all we
need. Mega meetings. That's all my calendar has on it.
None of you were on the real call till 5:30 last night, so I don't want to hear anything from you suckers. And that was after the Team Richie meeting the day before till 6, so don't even start. Tom's a little grumpy right now.
So would it be the SRWG, AMT? What other acronym?
It would be, well, AMT is really the... It's an SRWG umbrella. It's an adaptive management, AVN. What's the acronym for? What's AMT? Adaptive Management Team is usually, but this is an AVN.
It seems like...
Lots of those out there. You're way down there.
Join the Inquisition.
Yeah.
You're
like, Tom said
that.
It's a nice
thing. That's the AVN.
Nobody else is interested here, but that's why I don't want to take up a lot of time.
I'm interested, Gary.
Yeah.
I know you are.
It's Tom's idea.
You and I are the only two talking.
We're only the two agencies here.
Yes.
Oh, no, Tom is here. So.
Well, you have to. You got to fill out the notes.
So what I heard after the SRWG meeting was that we need to reconvene in a couple weeks because the Corps is kind of doing an internal audit, if you will, of the TURN EIS, the ROD, and other environmental clearances associated with the TURN management plan. So we're in the process of doing that. After we kind of have resolution on that, then I think that would be the right time to go back to the SRWG about how we organize the research to support those conclusions. So I think that's one thing. But I think, Gary, what you're talking about is the larger AMT discussion about how are we progressing the program. So
right.
I think
right.
it's kind
There's
of
lots of pieces.
Yeah.
yeah
so right now we're kind of working through the details, and then that will inform what the future direction is.
Yeah, I mean,
so
you guys need to have, what I don't want to do is come into a meeting and have you guys say, well, we don't know what we're doing yet, so we can't tell you anything. I mean, that's, you need to have.
I think we already did that.
again, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
I mean, so if there's anything that's in flux within the Corps, then you need to work that out. But as soon as possible, I mean, I'd like to be able to inform that operation a little bit, too. So,
So would that be with the SRWG?
I think that's the umbrella that we've put it under for now. I don't know, you know, I mean, it's kind of quasi, it's research for sure, but there's also management in there. SRWG is in a management group. I don't know who is. I mean,
it seems like the SRWG is the first step, and then because that's really where we work through a lot of the details, and then and then that queries up to programmatic.
What, as far as the nexus, what I told folks yesterday is I didn't feel that all you folks want to sit here and listen to all the bird stuff, which I can tell by the looks that you don't. So probably doesn't belong under us under Fitterwick, but I don't know on what other core group it would.
We can do some research and try to figure.
Because you guys are wanting to put it under the existing framework,
yes,
without having to create a new thing. So
I don't think you want
to. Want a new thing?
I don't really want it. I don't really care what it's called as long as we do it.
There
you know, and if you guys want to call it SRWG, I don't care as long as somebody doesn't get bent out of shape because we're just talking about bird management under a studies review work group. venue, so that's okay with me.
So the only other technical question I had is, how much acreage do we have in offsite mitigation, and what does that equate? What's the maximum reduction we can make at East Sam for next year? Because that's kind of one of the big management questions we've got outlined for next year, which will determine greatly what research we do.
So right
now, are you guys planning to do any construction this year? I'm guessing no?
No.
Okay.
So it's no more, I mean, it's less. Because of the loss of Dutchie and Dry Orem or one of the others dry.
But we overbuilt.
We overbuilt. Because Paul says because they had to make an assumption that you could only get, I think it was like 80% or something crazy. I can't remember the exact numbers. But so what is the maximum we can reduce down next year? Or are we basically, we can't reduce any more than we currently have?
It's there. I don't believe we can reduce any more than we currently
have. It's there. Well, it's there, and the fact that we're losing instead of moving forward is really the issue. And we're not gaining. And birds are not using, I mean, Fern Ridge, you know, that was a failure. So there's not only sites that have failed because of construction or something like that, because the birds just didn't go there. So
and you have other, there's just other sites such as mammalian predation that you can do.
Right, there's the problem there with low mammalian and owls, as we heard yesterday, they're having some problems with other
someone
predators.
Someone's going to go to the MTV, so we didn't hear that.
Yeah, oh, Blaine was there, and Blaine was. So,
But yeah, there are bigger issues that we need to
Do. So I guess the message here is thanks for the update, and what we need to do is have another discussion.
Yeah.
And, you
so
know,
schedule,
more,
a meeting,
schedule a meeting. And,
so who's going to schedule that meeting?
I can schedule the meeting.
Sandra would probably be the right person for that. Or
it will
Elisa.
Be a few weeks away.
Yeah, I think so. It needs to be because there's a full calendar between now and July.
There's a full calendar as well as we need to do some legwork internally prior to discussion.
So my other message is to make sure to work with Walla Walla District, because I think we need to have a coordinated approach on that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mind seeing core division involved in this. I talked to Dan File about it a bit yesterday, and just happenstance met him in the hallway. But I know Rock's been concerned, and it would be good to have a division presence there, I think, as well.
Yeah. So August, looking at their
calendar. Yeah, or July. You know, that's. I'm sensitive to Tom's issue that we can't. If we can do something sooner than later, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be another year of what we got.
How long
have
we been
doing this?
Are we glacial or?
15
years. Are we glacial or down to geographical time frame?
Yeah, I think it's more epic.
Excellent.
It's an epic frame.
What? Yes,
Monty. Can't argue with the truth.
Well, wait, can't. We're going to rent Bambi. Valuable lessons in there.
As long as you're not saying I'm a bumper.
I would never say that. I'm going to call him.
Any other questions for implementation?
No. We'll handle that elsewhere. I can see around the room that people are fairly tired.
Well, I guess the last question is EIS, farm ranch, where are we at on that? Because that's one of the other big decision points we have to have.
So we are currently working on the draft. It is anticipated it will go out at the end of the summer, beginning of the fall.
We say it's the summer time, like August or September?
August.
Okay. Time frame. Farm ranch?
Yeah.
Right.
Out for public review in August? Or
no, the draft goes out, and that starts the public review.
Yeah,
in August. Is that a 30-day?
It's 40. Trying to remember. One is 45 days, either the draft or the final is. One is 45 days, and one is 30 days. Okay. I don't remember which one.
And that will be out in August.
It's August or September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with a rod sometime in the winter. December.
Current
January.
Is March, but.
March, April, May, June. I think I heard December last time or something.
Okay. Anything else? Estuary monitoring is another topic that's on here. It's going forward, so.
That's what we're talking about, the alternative sites monitoring.
Okay.
Return.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Research on the farm rights.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandra.
You're free to go.
Thank you.
How are you?
Okay, so we'll jump back up to the top to number three. Bonneville Unit 16 maintenance request came last week to have this put on the agenda.
Houseman City called you and asked that it be taken off.
Yeah, I was going to say, huh?
Oh, never mind.
Is it about
it should be.
It will be discussed at upcoming.
And yeah. Might, there's some other unit, I think it's 11, that is there. I've got a proposal to have another, maybe, I don't know, Wasco County to put in there.
Well, that's a little ways away from Wasco County.
Yeah,
but
yeah, from,
yeah,
I don't
know.
You might be able to get a turbine in there, but
they have one in McNary. Fixed. What's the difference? BPA here?
Yeah.
No, okay. No comment?
Well, we'll move on to the Bonneville AFF. Jeff, John, Steve.
We don't really have anything to present. I don't know if John has any words he wants to say, but.
Well, last time we met, I believe we were in April, and we were getting ready to start operations in the lab, and we had just got done installing the baffle in the exit section. Since then, we've gone in, taken measurements, and Steve is here. I sent out some information. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it, but I also brought a handout. Okay. I can pass some of these around if anybody'd like to look at Steve's measurements.
Sure.
Yeah. Would you like?
Thanks.
Ed, did you get down here? Sean? So, yeah, it looks like, you know, we made some improvement at the top of the water column and flow past the Braille pool exit. You know, we plan to monitor, you know, through the season. And we have Bonneville here who
yeah.
talk about recent monitoring and what we're seeing out there.
So I want to hear what you guys are seeing out there. What's your impressions?
Seems to be working pretty well.
You see, I see there was a dead fish the other day, but that probably came down the ladder from the looks of it. So
sent out two more today.
Two more today. I haven't seen those. Were they long dead or recently dead?
They were pretty fresh.
Pretty fresh? On the grizzly?
Yeah.
Taken off of the...
Were there any marks or tagging with them?
The one was a previously sampled fish. It was released 2 days prior to it being found in the lab. And the second one had not been marked or tagged.
So that one that was released, it was released downstream of the project and came back through.
Oh, so it wasn't one that had come out of the Braille pool, then it would have gone downstream in the transport.
It was a U of I fish.
U of I. Interesting. Okay. So are those the only two you've seen that have
three
been seen?
Yeah.
Three total.
Yeah. Well, that one was pretty much that was actually found on the lost on the whatever we call the
wooden.
Upside down weir.
Yeah.
The wooden brown.
The wooden brown.
Oh, the baffle. Yeah.
The baffle.
The wooden baffle.
The wooden baffle. So that's probably not a result of sampling, but. So, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, we guess if you were seeing some jumping in the big Braille pool. Has that stopped, continued, not noticing?
I haven't. Yeah, I don't think it's continuing.
Okay,
up in the corner there. How about any jumping around the baffle or anything like that? Overall, it looks pretty good then, it sounds like, really?
Yeah, I'm talking to John Whitaker. I talked to him. He said things seem to be working okay.
Okay. So, I'll take a look at it tomorrow. I plan on being out tomorrow, so I don't know who's Brian. You're probably on duty.
Yeah, when I was out there, it was really interesting to watch Griffith use the recovery box. It looked like it was going really smooth.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And, it looked pretty efficient.
Okay.
I did hear that there is some shad buildup in the Braille pool.
Yeah, we got a lot of shad.
That circulation that we identified before that crosses the trash rack and it's in a clockwise motion. I don't know if that's contributing to it. You know, we've had shad in the Braille pool before. I don't know if it's elevated or not. But something we'll
which
look
Braille
at.
Pool? Which pool are you talking about?
The
regular Braille pool. The so they got to be coming down.
So they got to go against the flow, or they got to go with the flow, because if the flow is going the right direction through the exit. Yeah,
right.
From the Braille
tool. Yeah.
to the. So are they coming up and actually going in through the exit?
So they're actually going with the flow rather than against, you know, swimming against it like you'd expect. So it's kind of puzzling.
Well,
that's
a shot.
Are they that way?
They go around a circle.
As well as right.
No matter which way the flow's going for them. Is that where they're coming from? They're actually coming from the exit? Or are they coming down from the flume being dropping through?
Well, you know, when you put it in bypass, they can move through, and then they might be falling back, and then they get into the current by the exit and might just fall into the Braille pool. You know, chatting in the Braille pool is not unusual. I guess I'd be curious on, you know, if the numbers are elevated compared to previous years.
Mm-hmm. It might be easier for them to get in there since we've made it easier for fish to get out. That's, you know, stands to reason that the opposite might be true. Well, yard them out when you need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, can you let me know when you're doing that? I need some crab bait.
Yeah, I was going to say. I could use some crab bait, too. Yeah,
a lot of people are looking for bait, I hear. But, you know, as far as the future goes, you know, we do, you know, that wooden weir in there is temporary. It does sit at an angle a bit. You know, we're planning to address that.
And I'd like to refine that. Try to reduce the magnitude of that clockwise eddy by a little more porosity at the top and a little more porosity on the east side of the channel to, you know, blunt that surface eddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those. Yeah. The other thing that we can do is there's a I forgot your name.
Brian.
There's that little side grill that's vertical, perpendicular to the sloping grizzly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I think that's part of what's contributing, you know, to the formation of that eddy. And we can experiment with, before we come up with a permanent design, I think we should experiment with blocking some of that.
Okay.
And see
that's
if that
got
helps.
The holes in it.
What's that?
It's porous already, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's porous, holes, and a lot of the flow is going through that now. So we can experiment with that.
Mm-hmm, that's another way of getting at the eddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So are we planning to do like kind of an end of the season, lessons learned, and
very good?
Yeah. I was assuming you guys would probably do some sort of a report, you know, lessons learned, end of season.
Lessons learned and like maybe recommendations for future.
With recommendations that Steve can move forward with, just so we memorialize the
process. Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch this as we get into higher water temperatures and different species.
Right, so, right. Yeah. Well, shad numbers are going to build, I assume, a little bit more. So.
Well, we still haven't had sockeye through yet.
Yep.
So those will be the ones I'm most curious about.
Yeah, me too.
I think there's basically two ways of going with this, and I agree. Let's watch it and see if there's any more problems or any concerns with how the fish are reacting to that right now. And when we get to next fall, you know, I'm not opposed to tinkering with it, but you've got to realize there's a whole lot of variables out there, and you can get lost in
we don't want to chase our tail.
A whole lot of effort improving something, maybe not marginally, you know. I just don't, and I'm not sure that it's worth it.
Yeah, and I don't want to. What I don't want to do is put in the permanent structure with changes, and then find out those changes weren't a good idea. So, if we're going to make some changes, we need to do it in the wooden temporary structure first, and see if it matters.
If it's working, and the people out there say you guys have the inspection,
you don't want to break it.
Yeah.
You know, I can spend a whole lot of time tweaking things out there, but I'm not sure. Steve's got some good ideas, but I'm not sure how much better we're actually going to make it.
That's what I was thinking. If we could do like a team meeting and say what we think we need to make, and take a look at like really are these something we really think are going to be worthwhile to pursue.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to try some things.
Yeah,
temporary things before we say this is the permanent design.
Yeah,
we may say okay, let's go with what we have now. Yeah. Just straighten it out.
Right. Right.
It seems like you could also design maybe at least a little bit of adjustability into the permanent design if it's not too expensive.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that with our mechanical. whether we can.
As far as porosity or the gap size or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the two would be.
Yeah. Lots of to play with.
Okay, so.
Well, just in case you don't nail it, you know.
Sure.
Because just by not having wood, you could screw it up or something.
I can't believe we don't have bigger things to fry out there than this.
We do. We do. We do, and we'll get to George in a minute.
Okay. Sorry, George.
But, I think that two dead fish concerns me a bit. They're probably as a result of, they're not sampled directly, so at least that's what we know. So we'll need to watch that.
Do you see a problem out there, or do you guys have concerns? And we need to come back.
I mean, I'd like to have all smiles,
do some stuff,
right? And it's not all smiles. And so we need to watch. Yeah, pretty smiley, though. Yeah. Looks pretty good.
Okay, so we hear this talk of an end of year report.
just something
to describe how they function, the lessons learned. Mm-hmm. Who's gonna?
And then what's next?
Who's gonna take that up? Who's gonna be responsible for that, John?
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, I volunteer.
There you go. We like your lack of eye contact there for as long as possible.
Who? Yeah, it doesn't have to be much.
No.
You know, just with Steve's with this write up.
So as a part of it. So on top of John sitting down and writing something up, then so getting together with I don't know, with you guys or
yeah.
With the,
well, I mean,
or with the researchers,
probably
or,
good enough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll get U of I and CritFix input and incorporate that into the report for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Their observations.
Okay.
It's all been kind of our game plan all along.
Yeah.
We did all these changes. We wanted to see what happened through the season, collect data, and then go out and make minor tweaks or make this thing permanent.
The question would be, do you make some tweaks to it and then run it another year to look at that, or do you design the permanent, do a couple tweaks in the fall, but design the permanent and get it done before next season's operation? That would be the only question, really. How much time?
September, October.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we actually have an acronym for this sort of thing. It's an AAR, right? After Action Review.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Brought to you by the ADT, Acronym Development.
It's a report or review after Action Review.
The results on the report. Okay, anything else on the AFF?
Did Gary get his mods taken care of?
Oh.
Because he requested the orange tube line and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was taken care of, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the hole in the Braille pool framework, that was covered. The one where we had the second recovery box, that was covered.
Yeah, I heard that. I just think there was... And they said there was some leaking in the corner that they thought might have enticed some fish to jump. Is that leak still there? Not there?
I don't know about a leak.
Was that the discharge from the bleed off from the flume?
It might have been. Someone said that
they rerouted.
That was rerouted.
Okay. I need to take a tour out there. Yes. Oh God.
Meet you there tomorrow, 7 o'clock.
Wear pants.
Stop. Wear clothes.
Stop.
Wear clothes this time.
For God's sakes, man. You're in the AFF. You don't know what could go on there.
Maybe you just
add
food pants on
yours. Do I want to go khaki or not?
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Safe.
You only get one choice, though.
No. Tammy, I just wonder how much of this is recorded.
All of it. That's why retirement parties get so much better as
technology changes.
Yes.
Yeah, because now we're also posting that on the website.
Oh,
yeah. It has always been posted on the website.
Okay. All right, so let's say anything else on AFF?
It's close to careerism.
Okay, let's move on then.
B2
orifices.
Let's start with the B2 FGD, which I think I briefed this the last time. Basically, the turbulence reduction devices work as planned.
George, George, could you maybe? I hate to sit you in the middle, but
come on, come on,
speak up.
No.
you have to yell.
We'll move the phone over here.
That'll work.
I don't know if it'll move that far.
Yeah. You can sit in my spot. I don't need to. Hey.
Drop the phone.
So, as I was saying, the driverless reduction devices worked as planned, worked as designed. However, we did have some challenges out there, and as a result of not getting the biological results that we were looking for, the objective was not, just determined that the objective was not met, and we terminated the study, basically. So I also want to point out that we, as part of that test, we had some velocity measurements that were being taken out there, and the results came back from those velocity measurements, and I think we concluded that we may have some issues out there that we want to investigate a little bit more. Basically, in a nutshell, we've got some hot spots on those screens. Basically, we have a strip across the upper portion of the screens that that we think has some issues there. In effect, we're operating out of compliance, or I should say out of criteria regarding the crossing. So I think in a sense we've got a larger problem than we initially thought. If you could, I'd like some of the folks from PDT to kind of speak to that a little bit, because what this does is it opens the door for a little bit more study, a little bit more investigation, taking into account the alternatives that we've got. We have to reevaluate our assumptions and then develop a plan and move forward. We kind of want to reconvene a little bit as PDT, provide you guys with some recommendations, have you guys comment on those recommendations, and then move forward. You guys, thoughts?
Look at me, all right.
Well, I'm looking at the PDT, so we have technical leaders, we have folks from the hydraulic section.
Have we sent out any of the data?
I came in here expecting to see a presentation regarding the hydraulics of what you expected in the hydraulics that you've got, both CFD and field measurements. Do we have anything?
We can speak to that, but we didn't come prepared to give you a formal presentation.
I think that's probably going to take a good chunk of time. Maybe we should have a separate session where we do that.
Let's have them. Okay.
What George is talking about as far as the hot spots go is what we found in the velocity data that we had contractor collect is that we've got pretty detailed velocity data that they collected. I think, Gary, you saw some preliminary results. They collected data over a pretty detailed grid on the VBSs, about 7 inches upstream of the VBSs. Most of that information was what we expected. We saw that the TRDs streamlined the flow up the gate well, distributed the sweeping velocities more uniformly across the gate well like we expected, and decreased the lateral velocities in the lower portions of the VBS. So that was what we expected. We combined that with the biological tests that John worked on. But what we didn't expect is that along the upper portion of the VBS, between, it was right at about 53 feet. It was the second to the topmost porous panel on the VBS. We had some velocities in the normal through the screen that were higher than we expected. At 17,000 CFS unit flow, the velocities were as high as 1.6 feet per second. And we were expecting them to be 1 foot per second or lower based on the information we had previously from the field. Well, we don't think we've ever had any field measurements taken quite that high, and information from the physical model that was used to design the VBS that showed velocities that were below a foot per second. So we've done some work to go through the data and make sure that those velocities are not an artifact of the processing or the data collection. And at this point, we're pretty sure they are not, and that we actually do have hot spots on the screens. We've also gone out, Gary went out and confirmed that the porosities on the VBSs are as designed, just a sanity check to make sure, you know, we hadn't lost the backing plate or anything like that. But we saw these hot spots in both units, 15A and the 14A. where we had no TRD and TRD installed. So it was a pattern that we saw in all cases.
Measurement part of this work, I mean, obviously one of the reasons to do it was to get measurements and compare the two different treatments with and without the TRDs. The other part was to validate the CFD model. Is that contractor that did that? Are they making that comparison, or as well as the between the two treatments? So was there going to be something in writing, or that? I mean, we want to be able to use a CFD to evaluate alternatives, but we need to make sure that it's accurately reflects the real world. And so is the comparison between CFD and reality being made?
We are doing some comparisons between the CFD model and reality. The contractor's not responsible for that piece of it. They're responsible for the data collection and making sure that they give us a good data set. So that's not their responsibility. But what we've done so far is look at the data set that we've gotten from the field, from the contractor, make sure that we've got a good data set. And we've been comparing that to the CFD model. One of the things that we need to do is figure out why those hotspots are so different from what we've seen in both the physical model and the CFD model. Because right now the CFD model is set up with the same, set up to match the conditions that we saw in the physical model. The porosity coefficients that we use in the CFD model to drive the flow through the BDS are set up so that the velocity distribution on the BDS will be similar to what we saw in the physical model. And now what we're seeing in the field isn't what we saw in the physical model either.
Sure.
So we're even going back as far as, well, why is there a difference between what we're seeing in the field and the physical model?
Which physical model are we talking about?
We're talking about the 112 physical model that was done.
All right, but that wasn't done with TRDs or any of the kind of stuff that you're talking about. And we know anytime you change things in the gatewell environment, you get differences on VBSs. That's how we balance them.
Right, but we're still seeing these hot spots even without the TRDs in place.
Oh, okay.
In either case. So it's something that we're trying to figure out why we're seeing that difference now.
Okay.
We don't see the hot spots in either the physical model or the CFD model. So we're working on...
No.
So
that's
a different twist. What we still would like to see is the comparison of CFT and the actual measurements that that you received as a result of doing the studies, which Gary had talked about a little bit in the last meeting, but he didn't have much to go on. We were going to do that in May sometime, but people have been gone and time has gone by. So
we've gotten the draft final report from the contractor. We just reviewed it. We've been spending some extra time with them going through the data set because we've come across these hot spots. And we realized that's new information that we haven't had before. We wanted to make sure that it was really data that was of good integrity. So we've been working with them to make sure.
Are they real? But then second, what are they being caused by, and is there a way that we can emulate that? I'd still like to see a physical model of this thing that we can manipulate to resolve those hotspots or to model other alternatives that we may come up with. But, I mean, I want to see this thing resolved. I'm tired of doing it, of working with it, and maybe it's a time for another meeting to talk about it separately, but certainly reducing the amount of flow going up that slot would help reduce those hotspots. We know that. If those hotspots are something that can be worked on and you think that's the reason why we're having the problem with fish in the gatewells to start with, maybe that's something that we also need to explore and see what's going on there. But what I don't want to do is run down the road of checking things like this out and finding out that, well, that wasn't the problem. We don't know why. And in the end, we're in another year of running those units at half load and having the arguments that we've had ad nauseum over this issue and TMT and other forums. That's just not going to, I don't want to see another year of that. at least not without a clear path forward to a fix.
Gary, I don't think anybody is more versed in the current situation out there than we are. The sense of urgency for us is quite pronounced. We certainly want to get to the bottom of it. We want to have a clear understanding of what's going on out there before we actually start reacting to it and start, you know, making tweaks and adjustments that are perhaps not in the best interest of resolving the issue in the overall grand scheme of things. So we want to be methodical about our approach. We want to have a very clear understanding of the dynamics that are taking place in that cave well.
Yeah, I do want to make sure that we have a parallel process to a fix here. I don't want to be working on these hot spots and find out that they're not real or that we can't fix them and not have another alternative waiting in the wings to implement. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on one thing and then have that not work out and we're into another year or another year or another year of having this problem at Bonneville. So that's why you're going to hear me say over and over again, I'd like to see us go down the road of a flow control device of some sort. That should be an alternatives analysis of that, as well as while we're looking at this hotspot issue. Maybe that just goes away, we throw it away, but what I don't want to do is end up a year down the road and go, well, gee, that didn't work out, now what do we do? That just isn't acceptable. So, and I think there's some ideas out there that we've thrown out, that you guys have looked at, and that really need to be continued forward. Whether you build a physical model or how you do that is, I would prefer the physical model, but if you guys think CFD works, and I looked at our engineers about for that, but it's time to fix this problem, and I don't want to go another year without a plan to get it done.
That's understood. That's agreed. Yeah, we're in the same position, and I think the team fully understands that.
Well, let's when you guys have your development teams together, I think it's at some point early in that process, we'd like to be involved in that.
Absolutely.
So.
So I think I started off with the idea in mind that we want to convene as a PDT, kind of think this through a little bit, and then come back to you folks with some recommendations.
Okay.
You guys buy into those recommendations, and of course that's going to entail a briefing of some kind, so that you guys have the methodics that we've laid out well understood, and
okay,
can proceed collectively.
Yeah, let's work together on it, and that should be soon. As soon as
can that be ready to go, and can we be ready to brief them at the next Better Way?
The next Better Way is scheduled
for August 6th, I believe.
I think so, but I want to refer with the team first to give you a definitive. I don't want to just speak off the cuff here. I'd like us to convene and talk about this in 20 first, but I think that's reasonable.
The sooner is better. I mean,
yeah,
you've got
no
your
question.
Reports, you've got data from the contractor, you've got information. that we've been working on this for a long time,
right.
So we're well up to speed on the issues. Let's work together on it.
No, I agree with you. And Brad, I'm not trying to him and haw. I just want to make
sure. I just wanted to at least have a schedule.
So let's
a deadline.
Let's pencil in a formal briefing to you guys at the next Better Week in August.
And it's August 8th.
Okay.
Sorry.
George, there is, and I don't know what level they are, but there are
intakes
behind the VDSs.
No.
There's an F bomb.
August 1st.
SRWG proposal meetings in Walla Walla.
And that does. Years ago, we were having debris problems out there.
There's a bunch of things.
Watch them pull those VDSs to wash them off. You could see very distinct where those intakes were impinging a lot more debris and fish than around the surrounding areas. And I've got pictures of those. The trouble is, I know we used gate wells, like the AB gate wells of, I think we skipped 11, but I think we went to 12, 13. I'm not sure where they were.
The intakes are all good.
It's no.
They're to one side.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 12, 13,
yeah.
14.
Yeah.
I don't know if we went all the way to 15, but there was some.
Know. It didn't go all the way to 15.
No, it's three. There's three.
Yeah. They're in the hydraulic.
But then they also were on
the 11.
The 17, 18 side, because one supplies the up upstream AWS to the fish channel, the other supplies the water to the
yes.
to their facility.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I don't think, I'm not sure if they're off, I can't remember, but I don't think they're across the full powerhouse.
No.
No, they're not.
And,
they're not.
And our tests were at
14
in the middle.
Yeah, but we did, I mean, we went like A, B, we skipped C for some reason. So we went like, maybe it was 12 AB, 13 AB.
Yeah, that 18 or 17.
We also had a measurement in 14 C, and we saw the same pattern in 14 C.
Okay. Right.
And it's across the whole width of the VDS.
Oh, these are distinct
circular. Our highest normal velocities are across the top, not the topmost panel of the VDS, because it's a half panel.
Yeah.
It's fully open.
Okay.
No backing plate. The next panel down.
No, this would have been a distinct circular
spot.
Yeah, well, the spot is that
these
key,
all,
but yeah.
These are all
so there's a project that's seeing debris load build up in those exact same patterns over the years?
Yeah, when I was out there for the inspection, they were pulling it up, and it had debris on those top two right. rows only.
That should be, yeah. I mean, you should see that year in, year out. There should, if this is a chronic problem, something that maybe was overlooked in the original design, then... You know,
yes, no, we
should have seen
that. Where that's where dead fish typically accumulate
yeah.
in those zones. And I think, you know, over the last few years, we've had very high flow years, lots of debris. This year, during our high flow year, it's more of a normal year, but we've been relatively clean. And so when you do accumulate debris, when you're running at the high end or higher end, you know, I think it's more distinct, you know, that it's up there now.
Uh-huh.
When do we typically get into the stream cleaning when we have to pull the EDSs out there?
Well, it's starting the season. Beginning of the season.
May and June.
Yeah.
Well, when
you always do it.
I mean, it might be, I'm just asking, it might be worthwhile when they start going in there to
map
take
it,
a look at some of the
map
EDSs.
Out the debris.
Well, as they pull them out.
Yeah, they pull them out, they can take a picture.
Have the riggers, you know, pull. Right now, what the riggers do is they kind of pull them up and spray them up as they come out of the water.
Yeah.
What you need to do is pull them up, you know, these two panels up, and maybe have them take a picture of the
debris patterns.
Yeah, I got one picture when I went out there. They were pulling it up. The screen had been down for a week. I'm not sure what the unit had been flowing out. They pulled it up. Yeah, you can see it was grass, just almost shag carpet across the top, two panels.
So maybe you can talk to the riggers out there and just have them pull up two panels or two and a half panels and take a picture of it, and then they can go through the cleaning operation and just stack that down, because that will give us a good mapping of our flow through those things.
Sure. Debris particle study.
Yeah, and then, those were balanced. They were designed to pass flow over a particular pattern. So what went wrong?
They were. Physical model.
Right, what went wrong?
As we plan what to do next, if this is something that we address as part of reducing the flow also, we need to think carefully about the tools we use, because we've done this one.
I see two approaches here, potentially. One is that it could be that it's these panels, it's the velocities, that the balance on the VBS is wrong, and that fixing that could reduce the overall injury rate altogether. And maybe that was the problem to start with. So that needs to be thoroughly investigated. And then there's the other issue of maybe we just have too much flow no matter what, and I think that needs to be parallel investigated.
If we address both of those things, we need to think about how we do it so that we get good information. But this time around, we have the advantage of having some field data.
Right.
And we've got what I think is pretty good data. First time around, we're working with a physical model with no field data.
We've got a
physical model, we've got the previous physical model, we've got the CFD model, we've got field data. It makes a good combination.
Yeah, I mean,
one of those is perfect in itself.
In the physical model, did we test 17?
We have data from the physical model at 17.
That's up to you.
It's either 17 or 17.5. Somewhere in there.
Because I think we only did 3 points.
In comparison, it doesn't match up to what we have in the field.
In the physical?
Yeah. We tested across different flow ranges, that kind of stuff. I just wondered if it's having something quirky at just 17, and is that what we actually did?
Oh, I see. Right.
And that kind of stuff. Because you said you were only seeing it when you're at 17 and above, I'm assuming.
We see that the highest normal velocities on the VDS ICSs are in that upper panel.
But you didn't really see pass
at
criteria until 17.
At all flows that we tested at 12, 15, and 17 in the field. And in all of those cases, the highest normal velocity is in those upper two panels. They get above criteria
at 17.
Okay.
It's the same kind of pattern in all three cases.
Yeah, because the other part of this that concerns me is how many fish we lost in these studies. And there were a lot of fish that didn't make it down to the facility. Where did they end up at? They go through the gap, or the, they end up stuck on a VBS and eventually rotting off or whatever.
Well, they pulled the VBS frequently enough.
They shouldn't have.
They should have, but what Lyle told me is that the fish that were stuck to the VBS when they pulled it up and inspected did not account for all the loss.
And now
whether or not they slumped out on the way up,
right, and somehow
unknown. But yeah, what he saw when they made observations is, there are missing fish.
Yeah, there's a lot of things with that with his results too that concern me in terms of where they saw pitag fish down the channel. Even at the exit, seemed a little odd that they didn't see them, at the facility. Maybe those are just
in the full flow detector.
Yeah,
yes.
It may be just as a result of efficiencies of the detectors. But
if you recall, in 2008, 2009, there were some shed tags that were pulled out of that little sump area.
Oh yeah, I remember that. But that wasn't what he was talking about, though. These are actually, he thought, fish.
Which ones?
I'm looking at the second table in the results spreadsheet.
So would that be the dates of 4/16, 4/17, 4/18?
No, I'm just looking. This is the overview preliminary results.
Oh,
it's one. There were like five or six pages in that spreadsheet. This is like the fourth one in or so, which was basically an overview. I just took a quick look at it, but it seemed like there were the full flow. There were a number of tags, and there were some tags that were detected but not recaptured in the sort of code system. And then at the river exit, there were actually. Of course, those just went under the upstream gate, that big gap that's under that gate that all that flow is going through.
I inspected that, by the way, after we were talking about this.
Maybe we should put sandbags and bricks in there again.
We could weld it in place.
In the bypass?
Tammy sandbags.
No, the
we'll just have you out there. You got an office right there. You just run out there and put those in. Every time we slide that over, you run out, put sandbags in.
I loved doing
like that
before. That was my favorite job before, and I hope that we can go back to such primitive methods.
Okay. Make a note of it.
Well, clearly this discussion here underscores the idea that we have to have a better understanding of what's really taking place in those people before we actually start moving forward with some real concrete action.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. There's one, we know we have a descaling and injury issue, mortality issue that occurs at the higher ends. We also lost fish, which is a concern to me. I mean, are we losing a large percentage of our fish going through that system, through the gap, which we thought we had a gap closure device that was working, but maybe it's not, or they're going somewhere else that we don't know about. But we certainly lost fish.
Yeah, in 2008, 2009, with the run of the river fish, we had much higher recapture rates. Mm-hmm. This is typical.
Right, these are little guys, yeah.
But
still,
it makes you wonder about.
I don't really want to be losing little guys through the gaps either. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's not the intent of the bypass system.
So the intent is for us to meet with you August 8th and kind of give you a...
Yeah, let's make sure there's time to really dig into this thing. I don't want to just sit here for 5 minutes and then move on to something else.
And I would like to see a comparison of the two, or figure out. I mean, is a CFD model? If it's not, it was based on the physical model. So I assume we're going to modify the CFD to reflect the data that we have, or a comparison of those.
Yeah.
We'll discuss the tools that we have, how we use them, why we use them.
And I think it's important. I think. Folks in the region have expressed that they don't necessarily trust the CFD models.
No.
I know. I was as surprised as you. So we need to make sure that it is reflecting or representative of reality as best as we can. And now that we have data, maybe we can have that opportunity to do that. And then, move forward. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's finessing this and fixing the problem. We know that if we cut the uniflow back to mid-range, it goes away. So that's the other, just do it. Get the flows down to that level, regardless of all the problems that may be associated with VBSs and hotspots and all that. If we got those flows down to that level, we know that the problem goes away. So that's the blunt approach to getting this thing resolved, and I think that still has to be on the table.
Right. Okay, so integral to this project is work with spine, and the intent was for us to merge these two projects together, research and the orifice lighting, which, by the way, we didn't pursue field testing for the orifice lighting this year, and I think you guys are cognizant of where nothing promising. But I'm wondering if it might not be a good idea, given where we are with E2FGPE, the complexities of what we're looking to grapple with. I'm wondering if it might not be a good idea to entertain the idea again of having the orifice light study project be a standalone project so that we can move forward with that, implement that. So what do you guys think? Nodding heads indicating yes?
I think that's fine, George. Yeah.
Karen, any thoughts on that?
That seemed to make the most sense to me.
Okay. So we'll figure out how to do that. I know that we've completed the project. It's pending review. The intent was, like I mentioned before, to integrate that into the DR. But maybe perhaps we'll just move forward with the DR. Once you get to the ATR, we'll just get that lines of specs from here again. But anyway, more on that to come.
Yeah, and we did comment on that. And I don't think those comments were included in at least the last version, the 90%, was it? That we got
the orifice report or the FGP?
I'm losing track of which one's which.
You're,
but
I think you're referring to the FGP.
Is that one of those?
I've noted some.
Well, these two have, you know.
They're separate,
they're separate, whatever. And I don't think we've got confirmation of our comments on either of them, to tell you the truth. And it isn't just a lighting, the orifice. If you remember, we were looking at a variety of issues there, not just lighting. And one of them was a method to inspect those orifices, an easier method, which we said in our comments back that given all the complexities of fixing them and getting a good flow through them, that at least we would like to see an easier way for the project to inspect those. When they're going through their inspections without having to fight through the spiders and pull lights out of the way at risk of electrocution and then try to peer through the light tubes, that doesn't cut it. So it's more than lighting, and I want to make sure that we continue the larger approach to that than just lighting.
Well, lighting is, or you call it lighting, and also the integrity of that jet. Sure.
That was it. But, there were so many problems associated with achieving that we said, well, okay, if that's tough, too tough to do because of all the too costly to do, then at least we need a way to accurately and easily observe that jet coming out of the gate well itself to make sure the debris isn't impinging on it, which is one of the important things that you really can't do with the way the orifice and the way the flow comes out of it now. It's sputtering, and you can't tell if there's a stick in there or not. So, and we did talk about ways of doing that, and I, in our letter or our memo back to you guys, included that, some discussion on that. But I don't recall anything later after those comments went out, which I don't even know if that was a 30%, 60, or whatever.
It was a 90.
90? Okay. I don't recall ever having any discussion about that or, any resolution as to the path forward. We had the lighting, and that's great, but there was more to it. That's what I'm saying.
We will revisit that.
Okay.
Particularly now that we're agreeing that we're going to have that as a standalone.
Yeah, we can go back to looking at it as a separate issue. Thanks.
Okay. Moving on to the next project. I think it's the top spillway weird.
Well, before we do that, and go back to the talking about lighting, I know that I think the project is changing bulbs and talking about, and I think this may have been discussed at FPOM, And there's some questions about maybe what bulbs to put in. Can you guys kind of brief us on what it is? And maybe you, and you guys aren't close enough to it, but I don't know. Ben's not here unless he's on the phone. But kind of tell us where we're at and what it is that we're doing out there.
So yeah, we're looking at replacing halogen bulbs with LEDs, and we found some bulbs that spec for spec are essentially the same bulb, just I think they're 28 watt instead of 90, and actually the LED is like 110 more lumens than the current halogen bulb, and we purchased two of them and we're waiting for the appropriate time to get in there and test them in a wet environment instead of just doing it in a dry cable.
So your test was basically, will they last? Will they? It wasn't biological in any way. You weren't thinking of that as.
Well, we're going to test. We haven't tested yet. We're going to use a lux meter and determine what actual luminosity is being observed at the end of the
light tube. So you do that with a dewatered gate well, get down there and actually
do it wet.
How do you get, will you put it on a rove or something? And how do you get it down there?
Well, the crew has a camera truck.
Oh, that's right, the camera truck with a framework.
So
okay. Great. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be great. Yeah, because what I've said all along is I want to make sure that we get the same amount of light, at least, that we've had in the past. And the first idea on that was with LEDs, but they weren't anywhere near this, as powerful as what.
And that's why we're doing.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Why would we not want to increase lighting?
We said at least.
I didn't say that.
He said,
"Oh, you want to?"
I don't. That was like a quarter of the light or something on those other ones. I mean, they were much lower. Those ones that were put in a few years ago, and I think Tammy put those in. And I said, "Get those out of there."
They were just fine.
Were those the green ones?
They did not.
They were the green ones.
Yeah. Her old Christmas lights that she sold you guys?
What was your test?
Her old Christmas lights she sold you guys?
Christmas lights, that's what it was.
It wasn't even me, but that's fine. They were pretty. It was pretty damn.
You guys have an idea when you're planning to do this, or are still looking for the time to do it? Or?
Yeah, it just depends on like when units go down. And
also, it could be November. I mean,
well, no, I think like in a month or two, probably.
Okay.
Because they have some schedule coming up.
Yeah.
So I think it would be useful to.
You could have done it with 16. Because 16 is down.
What about 11?
Just stop.
Just to provide the results of that stuff to.
Yeah.
To this group. When that is done, in fact, it would probably be good to know when it's going to be done, in case folks want to go out and see the lights. I don't know.
Can you get them oscillating to their different colors?
Green would be
great.
There's a
little knob that you can time.
Exactly.
Because the green lights were just as effective as halogens with dirty lenses.
Still hanging around there, aren't you?
And somehow that's a standard.
Just saying, they weren't any worse than what we had out there, which okay. is your
worse.
Baseline.
Yeah, that channel. Was.
They were worse.
They were not worse. According yeah. to the.
No, according to the report.
Not a halogen with a dirty
children.
I would like to encourage the investigation into, you know, light intensity improvements as well, per the, you know, existing reports that we have from McNary.
From McNary.
And the investigation from BNNL at Bonneville and their recommendation, you know, trying to get the lighting up to 200 to 300 lux.
Okay.
That was, say that again, John. You were saying before these guys did anything, or?
Well, I mean, I think it would be simple enough to just get another bulb that was of higher intensity, and you know, at the same time, you're measuring the one to.
I see.
You know, verify in kind, see if you can do something to improve it.
If you want to do that, we will not stop you.
Yeah. But I don't care what, I mean, either way, you know, down the road. The program that these guys are doing should completely redo this anyway. So, right. This is more of an interim fix.
Sort
switch out to LEDs.
Yeah, you'll save some energy, and you'll maybe have to, not have to clean them as much, and they won't blow out on you all the time, and who knows. But the long run.
Yeah. I think the more important question is we need to know is how many biologists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I want it noted that I was not the one who said that.
That's what happens when you sit next to me.
It just absorbs.
It's more like bad fungus.
Did we get that on the record?
It's when they have a fun guy.
Tom, it's when they argue and that's not an accident.
Okay, so is that it on B2 Orbis? Anything else to report on that? So we're going to separate the teams, the FGE and the... We're going to separate the FGE and the Orbis team into two.
Separate the activities.
The activities. There's a 90% report out, correct?
On B2FTE. On the B2FTE report.
On the, okay.
Both report.
Both
reports.
For the ATR
review. What's that?
For the ATR reviews.
Okay.
Yeah, both reports are well, one's being ATR, one's ready to be ATR.
Okay. And so Noah provided comments, correct?
Mm-hmm. On both of them.
Okay, and so then those are being addressed, right?
They just threw them in the round file.
That's addressed.
Yeah.
And, okay. So.
What's your opinion? Nothing.
Okay.
That's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just a waste of time.
All right, so now on to John Day.
Your TSWs.
TSWs.
Nothing, I'm just reading my notes. They make me laugh.
The top spillway weir is in place. It's operational. For that matter, so are the avian lines. The configuration as a whole is working the way it was designed and intended. We were looking to have the TSW system completed this past April. We still have a couple of components that still need to be fabricated. That has no way in, that in no way impacts its operation. Basically, it's the second gate. We have one gate that's available now. We're fabricating the second gate that should be available in August. We're making some tweaks to the alignment of the TSW to make sure that it's easy to take in and out. Uh-huh. We're making some adjustments to a lifting beam. But again, all that is transparent in terms of your concern, your uh-huh. spectrum concerns. It's operating the way it's intended. Just a reminder, the full intent was to take a prototype that worked very well and make it a permanent feature, and that's what we're doing. So uh-huh. we're moving right along with that.
On the bird wires, have you noticed any issues with them failing or that kind of stuff more than what was anticipated, or is this something that's going to have to be? Because I've heard rumblings that they're saying they're concerned about their longevity and long term.
Oh, they're losing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long short.
We're working up a maintenance plan, basically a maintenance manual. The upshot, the short answer to your question is, yeah, we'll have to tweak that. They drop it down into the water a little bit more frequently than they anticipated. But we put the cranks out there, they just need to be cranked up, tensioned up. In some cases, they'll have to be replaced. But we knew that when we went into it, it was not going to be straightforward. Once you install it, they're there forever. You'll have to basically maintain.
Yeah. Well, the main thing was that, from what Miro said, they just didn't have the capability of doing anything with them. So when something was lost, the project could only just look at it. They couldn't fix it.
Thus, the maintenance manual that we're putting together.
That's what it is. Okay. And then the ability to actually crank, right. tighten. And what about replacing? That still have to be a contractor, probably, I suppose.
We're working that out. Okay. You brought it up, I think. It was not having the equipment to actually go off to do that.
Right.
But we're working through.
Okay.
I mean, just want to make sure that the project has what they need, that they don't need to go do through and like do a redesign or something like that. As long as the project's got what they need, we can do like, a complete handoff.
Last thing I want to do is bring it up to Miro and he goes, I can't do anything about it.
Right.
That's a bad answer. So.
And I should point out that Miro is very active with this.
It's because we keep poking him.
So, George, what is in terms of schedule, And then this is on the still on the agenda. When will this be completed? Do you think, as far as the manual and turning it over, and
we should have the manual completed by the end of this FY.
Okay.
Part of the, I should point out that part of the reason it's taken us so long is the comment period. I mean, we would submit something and it just lapsed for a while. Not because no one was interested, it was just workload. So we wanted to incorporate a lot of the concerns from the folks out in the field that actually would turn the wrenches, turn the cranks, to make sure that it was adequately reflected in the manual. We've gotten their comments, we're incorporating those comments. So the short answer to your question is by the end of this FY.
And that should be enough time. If they have to make any mods for next year, they'll have plenty of time to.
The agenda is to turn this over to the ONA community and say, we're done.
Okay.
I should point out that I think we're meeting our objectives out there in terms of survival, which was,
yes.
We took a bad actor and turned into a good actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, it made a big difference.
Yeah.
We're still a little proof of race. Yeah.
Reminds me, I've got a question for you after this.
Okay.
Go in the back room and discuss this. I have a bat.
That means I'm not going to come out.
Okay. All right. Thank you, George, for that. B2 corner collector. Corner collector repairs. Anything?
I'm sorry.
Corner collector.
Corner collector
repaired.
We thought that we had a solution. It didn't work. And, I think you guys took me to task on that before.
So could you come and sit in the
chair? Get the chair.
We're regrouping, we're rescoping that. We thought the solution was going to be straightforward. It certainly was not looked at as panacea, but we thought that using the epoxy mix with the blend that we put together was going to address this, the problem. It didn't. So we're taking a much more comprehensive approach. PDT is getting pulled together, laying out a plan of action. We'll lay out that action to you guys. Hopefully in the August time frame to say this is what we're looking to do. The big concern for us is that this is currently the incumbent program. Again, we want to get this off bar plate and over to the owner community. And something that I've advocated to the folks out there is that we don't want to turn something over to them that is half finished.
They don't have much money.
So what we're looking to do is to get out into the field as soon as we can, walk that channel, get a better understanding of what we've actually got out there. Better inventory, better assessment, instrument the channel to, because we know we have movement. We know we have movement horizontal and vertical, but we just don't know how much and at what specific locations. We're working with our hydraulic folks to get a better understanding of the roughness potential, and know that it's going to get rough as time progresses. But we want to get a better handle on the specific locations and the impacts that it has at the joints. Again, we want to develop a comprehensive approach, share that with you, and we love that. So, more on that to come. I don't have any other specifics other than we're just going to support.
So, are you planning to do some work then this winter?
I think what we want to do is
monitoring.
I'm sorry.
Or is it going to be more of a monitoring this winter?
I think what we want to do is some monitoring, but some design thoughts. Certainly, if we have an idea of where some of the movement is, start thinking about why that movement is causing what it's causing.
Yeah.
Start thinking it through. What we don't want to do is sit on our hands and say, well, we're just going to monitor it for a year.
I was going to encourage you not to do that.
We also want to try to figure out
if you do want to do some work, try to get that scheduled as soon as possible so we can figure out when the corner collector will be not available, that kind of stuff.
We want to be proactive, but at this point in time, as of today, we're not quite sure what to be proactive on, other than to go out and instrument it. But again, until we walk it and have an idea of what we actually have, and be futile to walk and put instruments.
Yeah.
We did that once before, and it gave us data, and obviously it gave us data that was ill used.
That's fine.
Okay.
Operation the corner collector, when it's going to be available, when it's not going to be available, can sometimes cause some scheduling problems.
Yeah, that's part of our challenge. I mean, because it's you have to get in there strategically when you have time available. Anything else on that project?
7 months. Another longer.
Sherman Survival, we got a little bit of a slip on that biological index test report. Some of our team members have been out of pocket here for good reason. Family concerns and whatnot. We're picking that back up. We're redistributing the workload within the PDT. We're still looking to complete that report, I want to say by the end of this calendar year, hopefully by the end of this fiscal year, but the intent is to finish that EIT project up. I think we were looking for some comments from you folks. The comments were due to us back on the 15th of May. I'm not sure if they ever got done. So we would encourage you to revisit that for us, make sure that what's in that report accurately reflects what you think it should, and get those comments back to us. So if you could put that in the record, that maybe perhaps we would extend that out to the 15th of May to make sure we have
15th of May?
Yeah, ain't gonna happen.
That's gonna say, Tucky next day.
15th of June. Okay. Is that reasonable, or maybe perhaps be more fair? The end of June?
I go end of June because we still have McCarran Cop comments that are due. We just got the AWS, that one's due, and I think you just suckers into the Dell's AWS on June 15th. So we got, we got a few in the queue right now that we're.
Okay.
No.
And
if I quit
going
to meetings,
there's
actually
cops.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff.
Okay. So how about maybe we shoot for the 30th of June?
Yeah.
Get your comments and we'll incorporate those into that report.
Yeah, it won't be very pretty, but you'll get something.
Can't even remember getting the report.
This is a BIT, the Biological Index Test.
Your name is Gary.
And if it's necessary, we'll put that out.
Sorry.
I'm not sure if you guys got that last part. If you guys said if it's necessary, we can kick out a more revised report for you.
So that would be good.
If you got a more revised one, yeah, send that out. That would be best.
I'm not even sure I can find the one you sent out, so that would be good.
Right.
Really? I haven't been in the office a lot lately. Sorry.
In terms of the
George, hang on a sec. Who's gonna John? Are you gonna send that report out then, or just to get it? Just I mean, it's use our TSP type. So.
Yeah, I know. Okay, go ahead.
In terms of the Ice Harbor project, I think you guys are more privy to it than I am, actually. I think you guys are more engaged with the early visions and iterations that are taking place.
Some of us, yeah.
But I can tell you that we're still working on that field biology test plan.
Right. Yeah, I'll talk about that this afternoon, probably.
Okay.
And SRWG.
Okay.
Well, it's on the agenda.
So the intent is to move forward with that.
There's not a lot going on that in the next year. I mean, we're not looking until 15 to get those, the first unit in. So the testing really doesn't start until 15 or who knows. So
we've got a little time, but we want to make sure that we have a good plan in place prior to that.
Yeah, I think what there was at least one objective that was probably pertinent to FY14. That was about it. Most of the stuff would be 15 and beyond. That's what I saw. That's not what Brad told me, but that's what I saw.
Okay. If there's nothing else on that, I'd like to very briefly talk about the John Day South Account Station Land Free Collection Structure. That's it. It's working. We do have an issue that we need to resolve internally, and we need to get voiced out there. We're looking to have that done in July. That's important because we need to be able to get that trap out. There were some issues, maybe communication issues, in terms of when it actually needed to be installed. The track was supposed to be installed in April. It didn't happen. So we're kind of chasing that down. But again, that should be installed in July.
And then I guess once that gets installed, you're going to need to coordinate with probably Brian McElroy.
So we've been waiting to have that on-site meeting to see how it operates until it's installed.
Not that we can ever go up there.
Given that, at John Day, the police start seeing the
bump in passage in early July. I don't know if Nathan, I think Nathan Zorich had a meeting with folks from the Umatillas and the Yakimas, the crews that are going to be trapping out there 2 days ago. And I don't know if they discussed this, but there may be a way to rig it to have that trap in place, but in the open position, so it's in kind of its bypass mode, and then drop another
small trap behind
pot traps or whatever next to it. So there may be a way to the have them do that while we're waiting for the hoist.
You guys have a problem with that?
No, as long as it's within the cow window area there.
It's
just the same
thing. That work.
Yeah,
I know I'm going to get pushback from my guys going, what?
I'll talk
now, why
with
are we doing
Nathan
that?
And the...
Why? Access like, for adult leopard dragon.
Yeah. What's the trap for?
Well, that's what the hoist is supposed to do for the big trip out. But
the hoist isn't in yet? It's
no,
not
it's
in
a, yet. July.
It's
July.
Oh, my
April.
God.
It's supposed to be in April.
I have a hoist at home I can bring out for you guys.
You
can just set it up.
It's probably got engine oil on it, though.
No, it really doesn't, but you're going to need a battery to run.
So the thought is that leave the trap in the yacht, leave the back end open, and put the pots.
And just put pots on the back side of it, catching that way
for yeah,
the
stream.
To tell the little thing to work on again. Yeah, no, that's no problem.
I think
that's
the
same issue. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we can do that as an interim operation, that'll be fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, talk to Aaron and get a hold of Brian.
Okay.
I'm trying to say as much as I can.
That's good.
Aaron McElroy, Jackson. Okay. Cool. So we're good with that, and let's move down to the Dow's adult fish ladder AWS backup system. Not much to report other than that we're making progress. We've got a 60% report that's been developed that will be reviewed here pretty quick. Actually,
it's out. It came out.
Yeah. So you guys are aware.
You guys want comments pretty quick, too?
Good. Yeah.
So most of the comments I think we got on the 30% were focused on the biological section, kind of the need to rewrite some of the language that looked like it was copied and pasted. From the EDR, so it's kind of out of context. So
I reviewed it yesterday, and you guys did a great job. I mean, it looked really good, I thought. So,
will you note that down?
You're happy?
Thumbs up. Good job, guys. I haven't got into the mechanics, but I thought that Ryan Lowry did a great job of kind of pulling some different ideas out there and putting them in, and what Ed and I are going to focus on next is the debris handling and debris sensing part of this to make sure that is workable. And then I think at some point, and I know I'm getting ahead of the 60%, is that we need to think about how we're going to test it and, you know, make sure things work properly once we get the thing in place.
Open the valves.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There may be some problems with that. So, and, we'll want to think about that. But, yeah, I think this is looking real good.
Right, Gary, and I think that's going to be very, very key. A concern that I'm thinking about here is construction. I think that's going to have some challenges.
Yeah, I didn't get into the construction window part of it either, and I was wondering about that, if that's going to be, timing. Three months long enough? Do you need in-water standard, in-water work period? Do you need longer than that?
Operations. We're trying to coffer some off, some divers in.
Right.
Boring, those types of things.
Right. Boring for geotech before you get started.
Yeah, maybe even some of that, too, during construction. We have to verify some.
Yeah, because I would assume you do the boring during the in-water, but you might want something earlier than that if you're doing
boring through
the actual boring through the dam. That's going to take, that's interesting. Big hole.
There's some dam safety issues there.
What?
I hope so.
Especially when you drill a hole through a dam. What?
We're counting on this to actually be the Achilles heel of the dam.
And I'm also thinking of construction duration, the in-water work period. Another concern, and again, we'll look at this as we progress, certainly during the as a plans and specs phase, we'll get into more specifics, but we want to make sure that we, we're not being impacted by water permits. We also want to, as I understand it, we may be looking at this being identified as a historical site, historical location, which brings on its own set of constraints. So while things are looking very good right now, things might get a little bit more complex as we move forward. That's not to say that we won't be able to work with these constraints, but I want to point out that we're dealing with some constraints.
You realize Gary can't retire until this is done.
Yeah, so this has got to be done next year, no matter what. I'm looking at in-water work this winter, right?
Somebody wake him
up. Does that mean you're retiring next year?
That's unacceptable.
I hope so.
You say next year, but you mean January?
He's thinking December.
Of next year.
So what are we thinking in terms of construction? I haven't got
to get back to
John Franklin.
Yeah.
Well, we're thinking plans and specs next year, and then award a contract the latter part of next year.
And then construction next?
Yeah, construction on 15.
Yep.
Yeah.
What?
15 or 16? I'm not sure if it's within 1 or 2 seasons.
15 or 16?
Well, we're not sure yet.
That's the thing, yeah.
Well, we can work through that, but I mean, that's okay. So, plans and specs next year.
Okay. Well, one time, as far as budget goes, there was a large chunk of money that had been budgeted for, I believe it was this year. We knew we weren't going to get to that, so then we pushed it out to 15 or 14. So now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good chunk of money. It was on the spreadsheet. I think it was in the $9 million, $10 million.
Looks like FY 15 dollars.
Yeah, I think we always said it was 15.
Well, I was aggressive with the short projections. I was thinking that maybe we would be able to do plans and specs, design plans and specs the same year. But as folks are aware, we farmed this out to another district. We're also looking at perhaps utilizing a contractor to develop those plans and specs, DDR. But that was me. That was just my projections.
Some okay.
Projections were wrong.
Oh, no, that's, I was just reminded of that when you.
No, there was a $9 to $10 million projection that may need to be revisited. We're not quite sure what that's going to be yet. That $9 to $10 million was based on DDR. That EDR has been reviewed, and some of the fiscal projections may be off a little. I'm not quite sure what that is.
Which direction?
Might be a little more expensive.
Which
yes.
Direction?
I know.
Really?
But I want to emphasize that we've been studying this for what?
I just wanted to say
years, and most of the time, what really killed the project was that we were looking in the $40 to $50 million.
Right. But it still gets, the more expensive it gets, the more scrutiny and the more chance there is that folks will start to vote it down because it's, it's an insurance policy is what it is.
I haven't really read through the 60% report, but there might be something in there about.
Yeah, I haven't got that. I just got through the first quarter or so or third of it.
If you get about further into the 90, it'll be further refined. It'll be a
right,
more
right.
Cost estimate.
It just seems to me that of all the iterations that this thing's gone through, this one has the best chance of getting done, but I don't want to draw it out multiple years. I want to just strike while the iron's hot here a bit and let's go for it. So quicker, sooner, maybe we'll get this one off the books and then I can retire. So if you're tired of listening to me, get it done.
In the next week, George. End of next week.
Hey, that's
end of the day.
the quicker you do it, the quicker I disappear.
Well, that's pretty much all I have. Any other thoughts, questions, concerns, comments? Okay.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George. That wasn't too bad, was it?
No.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Natalie. For those of you who don't know me. And I'm going to give you an update on where we are with Bonneville Washington Shore. So as you've probably already heard, the good news, we got the flumes up and running. So the big flume that followed it, and then the collective flume that nearby did. shot. We had our first lamp ray yesterday, yippee, with two coming up the ramp, so that was exciting for us.
Woo!
Whoever that is, yeah,
that's yippee.
So, I'm looking forward to the first picture, because then we can send it to the general who was out there at Tuesday. He was pretty impressed by all that work, guys.
Good.
Okay, so we're still negotiating on providing that instrumentation on that rod, the vertical rods, with the A&E. So this has been a difficult thing for us, because it's an A&E liability, the failure of the rods, and we got to go through all this processing because it is an A&E liability issue. And so we're meeting tomorrow, we've been meeting, and we're trying to push that forward, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what is the design going to be. And so I don't have any schedule now, guys, and I know everybody's been chomping on me. We want to know when you're going in, we want to know the exact date, we want to know the exact hour, and I'm like, gosh, you know, I just don't know, guys. And so I'm flagging you. I'm going to probably be asking for mid-November again, like we did, but I expect, and Sean can always chime in here, but I expect that we would still have the south ladder up, you know, that's like we did when we had when we asked for the extension. So it would be a partial outage. I don't know all the details here, guys. I just want you to kind of bear with us as we're trying to get you something as fast as possible.
I'll just say one thing right up front, that Bradford Island system has to come down next year. Right?
We know.
Has to.
We know. That's why we're...
And if this is in the way, it will have to wait a year.
Well, and that's why we're going to ask for November.
Just to let you know that I'm really touchy about that.
We know it has to be down to December 1st. We have that. We know that that's a hard constraint. So we'll be asking you for November.
Okay.
I mean, and that's why I'm flagging you.
Okay.
And I've sent notice to RCC through their special outage thing to let them know. I've tried to tell BPA. It looks like we don't know exactly, but we're going to need to put divers in. Because my expectation is, this is just my best guess at how this will all play out, is that we will definitely need to support the flume, because
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to take each
support,
rod off
support
one by
rods.
One
mm-hmm.
and support the whole thing somehow while we do that, because the pin connections are underwater. The divers have to go in underwater, take those connections out, take the old stuff out, put the new stuff in.
What is the new stuff?
We don't know.
Don't know yet.
Yet.
So that could be completely, who knows? I mean, it's probably not just another rod. It may be something more substantial, or maybe it's just
a bigger rod.
Yeah.
We don't know yet, and I don't even want to venture a guess.
At the very least, are you guys going to go a floating plant though this time, so we don't have some of the same concerns from we had last time?
You know, I don't know that.
Okay.
It was my hope that we could do it from the top, with cranes holding the flume up, with mm-hmm. divers mm-hmm. going in mm-hmm. to undo. That's my expectation, mm-hmm. but don't hold me to it.
Well, especially if you're doing one at a time, I would assume that one rod isn't going to cause that thing to collapse. You're just holding it as an extra support.
Don't
assume that, because...
Well, it shouldn't have been designed that way. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I don't know what the redundancy is. We were very lucky when we had five go and had six that held everything. I was thanking high heavens, that didn't go. So I don't know all the redundancies, because we weren't the designers.
I guess it's the same as the guys who designed that bridge on I-5. Right?
I think the bottom line is that we recognize the need, especially given the fun we all had last winter in terms of, you know, coordinating the extension of the construction and everything. We recognize the need that we have to engage early and often. As soon as we know what the fix is, then we can start figuring out what operations would be needed to support the fix. And so we'll be, you know, we were just talking about this yesterday, that we're gonna start having a dialogue on a regular basis, so that as soon as I get information that I can work with Tammy and Doug and the project on coordinating with all of you on what that in water work might look like.
When do you hope to have a solution, at least on paper, or does the team know what it is?
I'm hoping tomorrow we'll have a better sense of it, because Brent is on a periodic inspection right now. I can't get to him easily. he's the one negotiating with the A&E right now. I don't know what his time frame is. I don't know what he's scheduled for that piece. So he's in Friday, and so then I'll have a better sense. He's going to be at that meeting. So if I know something Friday, I'll tell John. John can let you guys know. I'm letting you know as soon as I know things.
And
I
sure, know and, that's, and, that's, and, that's, and that's great. I'm just wondering if there's a... I mean, you're already talking. You're hoping to get in there middle of November.
That's what my expectation is.
No. That's on one hand. On the other hand, we don't know what the fix is. And so I was just kind of curious as to when we will know what the fix is.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it's just going to be changing out of the rod of some, and it'll be some sort of
part of it.
Right. Plus, we have a punch list of things that Sean has let me know about. But the bigger picture thing that'll affect the outage, affect BPA, affect everybody, is how we're going to deal with that with the flume. You know, how we're going to deal with changing that out with all those underwater components. That's the struggle. And so, stay tuned. You know,
I'm just telling you that I do not want to see that Washington Shore Ladder out of service in December. We need to take Bradford down.
That was made clear, right?
That is. Yeah,
and that's also the reason why we pushed so hard to get the flume in this year, right? I mean,
because everybody
said, well, you'll have time. I said, no, we have December 1st as our first firm. We have to be out of there.
No.
You know,
I appreciate that. Yeah.
I tried to push really hard on that.
So you'll have to find out what the fix is and determine how long it takes. And, if, you know, we'll have to back up from December forward to get it done.
And I appreciate your comment, Gary. I mean, if we can't get it done in November, then we do have to punt a year. Then we have to figure that whole dynamic out.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And right now, we've extended the contract for our construction contractor, Fowler, in order to enable us to utilize them in this next in work period. If we have to wait a year, we can't do that. And
okay,
so that's
right. You'd have to come up with somebody else.
Right.
Expense goes up. I understand.
We have to close out that contract, re-advertise.
Right. Got it. Got it.
A little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Well, let's just work with it. We just need to find, as Brad says, we don't know what the issue is yet or what the fix is, so we have to figure that out.
Right. And
August.
Mean, it will be before the next Fitterwood. So
next
just
Fitterwood.
Keep, Sean, I'm going to have Sean keep you in the loop. He's just going to let you know as soon as we know things. I'm not going to go, don't expect, you know, you're going to wait till 6 weeks from now. You'll keep, as soon as we know, we'll let you know.
Okay.
As soon as we know, Doug. We'll let you guys know. And Bill Walker is already on my case about it, so I just said, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm trying to do everything I can, and I've done everything I know of right now to notify people. So stay tuned.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, let's
One other last question.
Yeah, a couple.
I was going to say, on your punch list, you have the pumps, the redoing the brackets.
Yes. So that's some of the other work that would be in water work. Is we've got a temporary pump set up out there right now, and we're working with U of I on coming up with a more permanent solution that works for the core. In fact, we'll probably be the ones that ending up doing the kind of final design on it. So one of the other issues is the pit antennas and the way that the conduit that runs down to four pin antennas that are integrated into the flume system. And those conduits were actually zip tied to the hanging rods.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
And are kind of.
They were flopping around pretty good. They're just
flopping
plastic.
Around. Now, I talked with Chuck Boggs. He said that all of them are actually still connected, which is a good thing, because it'd be a much more complicated fix if they had actually broken away from the antennas. But we're going to be working on a kind of at least a temporary solution, which is to bring in a boat and try to at least get to the
above the
parts that are above the water and maybe come in a couple of times. You know, we've got relatively
more zip ties.
High tailwater right now. Try to get in, see what you can reach, then
as it drops.
Come in later as it drops. But
it's dropping now.
Part of drop quick. Next fall's work would be in more permanent attachment for that. That'd be pretty small potatoes relative to the rest of the fixes. The other thing, and this is more of an FPOM discussion, but there are still some, that the flume is up and running, the LPS is up and running, but the There are still some minor modifications that have to happen to that LPS. The question is, that we're batting around right now, is whether it's worth turning off the system for a day or two to address those, or if we should just leave it. And I don't have the details with me right now. I should have brought pictures and stuff.
But for FY, you probably will.
When is next week?
Next Thursday.
That might be good timing.
I was going to say, because you're pretty still early in the run,
right.
So if you're going to do it, probably get it now pretty quick. If it's something you can do pretty quickly and get it done and out of the way, anything's going to make a overall improvement.
And the main thing, it's hard to explain without pictures, but at the end of the LPS system, there's a chute that goes down into the holding tanks, and that last section of kind of flume from an upwelling box isn't perforated on the inside, so. Theoretically, lamprey could attach and hang out there before they drop into the box, and we don't have a way of monitoring it. So, talking with Mary Moser and Chris Caudill and some of the guys out there have been playing around with LPSs over the years, they're not really concerned about lamprey holding on there for any more than 5 or 10 minutes. But
just electrify.
You don't really want a bottleneck right at the end of the system. So, especially if you had a night where there were a couple hundred fish using it. So.
Every 3 seconds?
That's what we're most concerned about.
I can do that.
Yeah, I know. Take your car battery up there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
110. I wouldn't use the one. I use 480.
Any more questions?
Yeah, I just had a comment as far as folks, as far as the timeliness of it. This will be right during the CHUM operation, so not everybody here sits in on TMT, but just so you're aware, as far as the flexibility the Corps will be asking is that if during that time frame, there are tailwater concerns, it's just something that may be a challenge. Another consideration is Gary's expressed there's a concern for the December 1 Washington Shore Fishway to be in service. Again, during that exact same time frame is when we'll be having the 11-5 tailwater conversation. So as Natalie suggested, there is no final end product, but if should there be a plant issue or any type of tailwater operation, that's just something else for something for folks to be mindful of. So
the nightmare that is Bonneville.
Just another thing to keep in mind.
I should be operating.
Yeah. I think we still have that line outage issue at
Correct.
Plum, so
correct.
We can only pump 110,000.
That's right.
Yeah. Whatever it is
yeah.
out there. So
that still goes on for another.
Correct.
You can't just meet it with that other powerhouse.
And then there's the spill issues and the TDG issues and the CHUM and
right.
the tailwater.
Relax. We don't know what the repair is yet.
Okay, I'm done then. Thanks.
Are there any spillway repairs planned for next season?
No.
There weren't any planned for last season.
There should be.
Sorry.
Why are you
hearing that? Anyway, okay, anything more on Bonneville or Washington Shores, guys? Are we good? Okay. So I'm just, adult studies, you know, all things are moving, so you don't need any more information on that. On John Day North Fish Ladder, of course, the ladder's up and running. We're doing our pumps, walkthrough tomorrow. So pump 5 is finally up, and we're expecting it's 500 hours by June 12th, so that's really good news for us. We are in the process of doing the O&M manuals and closing out the contracts, and Martin Hansen is bringing out some velocity equipment. He wanted to test one of the low flow scenarios for Steve Schlenker. So I wish Steve was here. I don't know any of the details. And Steve has been, this is his first day back from being on vacation. So if you have any concerns about going to velocity testing, might want to chat with Sean and have Sean brief skits on what is involved in that. So,
Natalie, what's why is 500 hours? Is that some sort of a milestone for the pups?
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're going to work, or is it?
I'm just teasing. So we're in the process of basically, they call it a VOD.
A what?
VOD, where they turn over the pumps
oh.
to the project. 500 hours is
oh,
what
I see.
That's the deadline. And if everything's running well at 500, with all the pumps, then the contractor wants to get new, and they want to be done with this job, so... We do too, but it's, that's why it's significant because Pump 5 had real struggles. It was the one that failed twice on us. So, thank God it's run up and running. So, okay. Any other questions on John Day?
I'll add just a note on that. I spoke with Chris Caudill this morning. We've got that new LPS also inside that entrance. And the goal for that was to get it started July 1st, again, coinciding with when we tend to see lamprey activity start to pick up there. Based on some of the lessons learned from the Bonneville LPS and the plumbing, some of the kind of last-minute plumbing that we did on that with the U of I crew on site, Chris and I were talking about encouraging the U of I Boise shop folks to be out on site in mid-July, so like the week of July 17th or the 24th, to give us a week or two in advance of that to get any change and make any little minor tweaks to the plumbing to get it running by the target date.
Okay. Those are the two things you asked me to brief you on. Do you want me to talk about the Dell's Pit at all?
Other than it's up and running, no problems?
Well, and we're going to wait until fish go through today. So if we have any issues, we don't know if we have any issues with the temporary arrangement right now, and so we're going to wait to hear from fisheries.
Right. So I talked with Paul Keller this morning, and you know our plan was to just kind of keep an eye on things, mm-hmm. fairly informal. But they've been on their twice daily inspections, going into both kind of count stations and checking things out and talking with the fish counters, and they haven't seen any unusual behavior in the fish in the count windows at all, which is good. And I think Don's on the phone too, potentially sent me a message this morning that they're performing really well, the antennas are, so things are looking good.
Good news for that.
Yeah. Don, are you still on the phone?
Hello, this is Donald Worth. Did I hear my name?
Yes. Sean said that you said the antennas were working well. How well are we talking?
99.77% efficient.
Is that the best you can do?
That's all you can do, Don?
Yeah, I know. We're feeling really bad about that. We missed six fish out of a possible, I believe it was 3,500 that had reached Bonneville, the Dalles, and McNary. Those six fish were probably side-by-side fish, or they used the lock.
Okay. Good.
And then is RC going to, what else going to do?
We have coverage.
Yeah, so then it's seasonal from RC.
Change versus historical.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well done. Okay, so on John Day,
excuse me for a second. This is Eric Van Dyke. I just wanted to say I'm still having a little trouble hearing. Like when Sean talks, it's pretty broken and silent.
We're having that problem too.
When
Gary Fredrickson talks, I'm missing that a bit too. So you guys can either talk up or move closer to the mic. I'd appreciate it.
Well, maybe we should shift the whole. I'm sitting right in front of the mic. So if we shift it over to where Gary is, maybe it'd be better for Sean. So
well, I think we're
going to pass it around. So you won't be able to hear me anymore, but you'll be able to hear the comments. So, but that's okay. So the actual John Day stuff, you asked us to look into it. So Sean is actually working. Sean and Mike Langsley are working that detail, which he am. So.
Natalie, would you mind just maybe moving up here to the hot seat?
That'd be great, because when you move the mic, I quit hearing what Natalie was saying.
Okay, so I was just saying that the request was to look at John Day also for as far as mm-hmm. implementing that pit work. And so that's basically with Sean and Mike Langsley. They're going to make the pitch to our PM branch and figure out who would be assigned to it. If it decides to go forward with
right.
it. So it's not on my plate anymore, so I just want to let you know that. So that's all I had to update you guys on.
And I'll add to that Don sent week or two ago, a really useful package that I think not everyone in Fitterwood, but we can send this around.
So you do have some concepts.
So yeah, Don sent some great concept drawings using
the pinwall. It's posted on the web.
Concept.
On the web.
Where?
Under Fitterwig. FPOM, Fitterwig, June.
Man, you really have been busy.
So Dan says it's posted already.
Were those concepts a more permanent kind of cut into the concrete concept?
Yes.
Or a combination of that and the bolt-on?
Well, as he points out, it looks like it would take very little.
Where the concrete would be
2.125 inches of concrete to be removed.
And you could do that without actually removing rebar? Or would you have to move rebar?
I don't know that's what the Corps would have to...
Yeah, I don't think it would. It would probably just barely get down to rebar at that depth.
Here it is.
So when I talked with Mike about this yesterday, as Natalie had mentioned, there was a... Basically, Langsley has to make a pitch to our district folks to put together a team to work on this. And Don, do you want to add anything about the, doesn't sound like it would work in the count stations, and so you were looking at the weirs.
Yeah, the count stations are the pinch down area is very short. It's only about 4 or 5 feet on both ladders, so we pretty much abandoned that. And the north ladder had just been remodeled anyway, and it's a very nice system there. So we stayed away from that, and I think that there's always been a desire to not use the counting windows because their future may be limited. So we concentrated on the lowest cost, which would be the slot on the above both counting windows at each ladder. And that's worked out pretty well. We've even done a cost breakdown, not counting core engineering work, but we think we can do it for under $250,000 per ladder.
Does that include replacing mined out rebar?
It would not. That's why we would need structural people from the core to let us know if there's any structural problems.
Is there no way to make a sort of temporary system in John A, this bolt on and not have an impact on passage from your perspective?
Well, no. We looked at it. We can come up with some conceptual designs for that, but we're going to get into all kinds of hydraulic changes and possible lamprey obstacles. So we can do that, but... we feel that this full-blown permanent system can be done so economically that it would probably worth going down that road before trying a temporary system.
Okay. I haven't looked at it yet.
Here.
I'm going to look at it now.
All right, thank you.
I can see it here, but I haven't studied it.
If you ever rebuilt this bottom wing section, it's
suppressed. So the Lamprey Minor Moss wasn't on the agenda.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, shoot.
A brief
shoot.
Other than that, I was supposed to add the D&D trailer to the team. I don't know if you want to do this right now or I'll be.
Yeah, no, go.
You chance to ask Gary?
What's this?
Just do a quick update on Lamprey Minor Mods.
Can you send these to them? I don't know, maybe these can't be posted.
Why?
To put them on the webpage.
I can.
I know she can.
She's Mrs. Post-it.
If you send it to me, it will be posted.
Sometimes there are regulations about
then
posting
you end up in jail.
Schematics on of our dams online for the public to see.
These are going to be probably.
Then you get that little phone call.
Please remove.
What are you doing?
Because, if I'm a terrorist, I'm going right after your lamprey structures.
That'd be the best place to hit us.
There you go.
Let me know.
All right, I'll let you know.
So
on the Minor Mods team, I noticed from the last meeting, I was supposed to add Andy Frailer to the PDT. At that time, we were looking at trying to get into Bradford Island to make some modifications this coming winter. Because of the amount of time remaining in the schedule for this year and kind of the complexity of Bradford Island ladder, it's a little bit different animal than most of our other fishways. We decided to make a shift back to the dowels and John Day and focus on designing diffuser plating for the east and the east ladder at the dowels and the south ladder at John Day. And so I know I sent out to Fitterwick probably, I don't know, a month ago or so, the kind of a 90% design package. This is pretty simple stuff, plating upstream and downstream of the orifices and the overflow weirs. There were some revisions of the comments we got from Noah and Critfic were primarily focused on making sure that we were careful about the seams in the plating and questions about the anchoring for the plating. I think Oz, the technical lead, and she's also the structural engineer on the team, tried to address those for the package that you guys are looking at right now. We had a lot of dialogue internally with the project too about anchoring to see what we could do. One key thing is that Oz was able to reduce the number of she did some recalculations, yeah. And was able to reduce the number of bolts it would take to keep this thing anchored in place, which is good. I made sure that the anchors were away from the orifice as much as possible, so that they weren't impacting lamprey passage through the orifice. The seam is still right in the middle of the orifice, which isn't necessarily ideal. It's similar to what we did at John Day North. But
it's smooth.
Yeah, but it's smooth, and I've emphasized to Oz that just as we did at John Day, we've got to make sure that during installation the contractor is aware of the need to have that.
Butted up.
There's no tolerance in that.
Butted up properly.
I think is what's indicated in that. And that they should also be considering some sort of filler for that piece as well. So.
If there's some way those two pieces could actually fit together,
right?
Tongue and groove.
It is tricky because there's always variances, right? So, and this is what Jerry Morse, the engineer who designed the plating at John Day North, dealt with too. Is that there's no guarantees that everything's going to be.
No, you'd have to mill it.
So
washers. Yeah.
The two questions as I see right now. So
sure.
You don't have any pathway across the diffusers. And when you go through the plate,
yeah,
and you're into the diffusers, and you've got an entire floor there with no pathway up to the next.
Yeah, and that's orifice. Based on some of the field observations that have been done at some of the other dams that it seemed like they primarily free swim between the orifices, is what we're finding. And so we started designing to John Day North before we got some of that data.
Okay.
But we also were able to get away with it in terms of the velocities. And then that was one of the key things with this, and when if and when we're doing this at other locations, is that balancing act between how much diffuser grading you can occlude without increasing the velocities.
The second question I have is, if we plate this here, are we going to be able to get those diffusers out?
I believe they're
for maintenance
removable.
But you understand, you've got tabs now that go into the orifice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to take a little more now.
Those J bolts attached to the diffusers, so the whole thing's going to come out.
And I would assume you would not.
Those sections that go in would be a problem.
Yeah, I would assume you wouldn't unbolt the J bolts and then unbolt the diffusers. or unclip the diffuser. So I just want to make sure that we'll get out there 5 years from now and try to take out the diffusers and we can't get those.
Right.
Or if we do, well,
they'll get them out, but
they'll match up.
Yeah, they'll bend the crap out of those tabs in the way of getting them out of there.
Just a thought.
Yeah, it's something that we discussed, and I can't remember.
Maybe there's clearance for taking those out. Okay.
So has that been?
I know it was part of the discussion with the project.
And the project is going to want to know that, I would think.
Yeah.
So they'll just get a crane on there and pull harder.
Whoops.
What was that?
I'll confirm with him.
Confirm to use crane too. So Sean, one thing we had a question on was like they seem to have there was a I believe you detail
like four different types of plating.
Yeah, and why some upstream are different than other ones downstream. Was there some
part of it is Yeah, so some are attached to diffusers and concrete, some are attached to just concrete. There's also differences in how the kind of the weirs are oriented. Yeah. So that's why we ended up with different
shapes. Yeah, I just wonder, like, on some of them, the upstream side, you have kind of a bigger oval landing pad, and a small square in the back. The other ones, you have a small square in front with a big oval pad in the back. I just was wondering, is that, was you guys trying some experience to see if one works better than the other?
It just had to do with the weir configuration.
Yeah.
Weir versus concrete, or the grading versus concrete.
It looks like the diffuser, the concrete's a small square pad, no matter what it is, but when you're on a diffuser plate, they went to
the big one.
A big semicircle.
That's why I assumed that. Yeah,
I kind of looked at that.
Look at
both of them, it's the same sort of thing. And we've got diffusers on both sides, you get
the big rounded.
The big semicircle ones on both sides.
And some of this was copycatted from what Walla had done, so that might have been the background.
So it looks like most of the bolts are countersunk, but J bolts aren't. It says that they're going to tack them and then grind them off.
Is there a cap over that, or what
it
is
says,
that?
Saw off and grind flush after tightening.
Right, and we're still exploring. That's one thing that detail that might change. There's several different clip options that folks were batting around this last couple of days.
It seems like a better option would be to find a J bolt that's the same as the other bolts that would just countersink smoothly in there, like with an element or something.
Yeah, that was one thing that Os was looking at, but she didn't think would work for the thickness of the plating or the type of anchoring that was needed at that location. So
Sean, what is that? I mean, what it looks like there's a cap over it. What I don't see anything describing that. Diffuser plate, bolt slot.
Yeah, that's
cable.
A clip. I can show you a picture of what it looks like.
Is it like a so the nut sits inside of that? Is that a round?
Yeah, it's pretty slick
cap?
Actually. It's like that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like a water, it's a cup of water.
Yeah, and it's about 2 inches.
You put a nut on there and then you grind it off.
Yeah, I think that language is old. There's a previous design where it would have been grind. And I told Oz that my preference would be to not be dependent on the contractor grinding every single thing nice and smooth, because there's going to be a lot of these attachment points and it'll be hard to do quality control on that. So we're now looking at this option.
Yeah, that option makes sense, and that's kind of what it's shown here, but it doesn't say anything about it.
Right.
So
she's still.
I think even your original drawings had that, but it wasn't explained.
Right.
So that makes sense. That looks good. No problem with that.
So plus tack welding stainless to mild steel.
The level of epoxy.
That's a problem.
You can do that, and it stays put.
Well, because your plates are mild steel, right?
Should
I think are they powder coated mild steel?
Kind of like galvanized now.
Yeah. And so you're using your J bolts are stainless, and then it says the top
already
bolts
galvanized
is stainless bolts. Those
be galvanized.
She's changing the
stainless. Well, it's kind of
stainless plates.
Okay.
Study point.
Actually, you even looked at the using HDPE for it, but you need additional attachments. That would have saved cost.
Trevor, what was your concern?
Oh, it just says that they're going to tackle
dissimilar metal
to the plate, or dissimilar metals. So
dissimilar metals, and so you get
it can work, but
corrosion.
Coating it and keeping corrosion out is going to be an issue with that.
Yep.
I'd prefer to be flush. I mean, I think you could find something that would be flush than having those rays like that.
I can live with the thickness. If you can do this round type thing and that's not that, I can live with it. But flush would be preferred. I think we've made that our comments.
Yeah, that was my preference.
And obviously not. But I think that's kind of things like flush, this, and then the grind would be your lot by the last.
Yeah.
And I asked about John Day North because all those were flush, but I guess all the attachments for the ones at John Day North were in concrete, and so
You can just countersink a screw on that.
Anyway.
Yeah, you still have to J-hook it somehow on the diffuser. That's the problem.
But I don't think these are going to be a problem.
Maybe attack the
diffuser. That'd be tough to. For the maintenance crews to get it off of there.
Say it was easy.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
That's what
was
done for the kind of lamprey sidewalk at the John Day North exit section. There's a short section of grading just upstream of the count station, and those were actually welded to the diffuser grading along the ends. It's a little different configuration.
Yeah. Those, everything comes out in one piece.
Has someone ever thought of putting together kind of a compendium of all the different kind of structures we added to them, so we can maybe like, obviously like a flip book, but something through there and say, hey, these are the different structures we've got and that stuff, so when people start designing this, they can grab other designs from other people and say, hey, this is work here, or this hasn't worked here, this is different methodology, so we don't have to basically reinvent the wheel every time we're going
to specific to like lamprey.
Yeah.
That's happening informally, like on this plating design. This is a kind of a amalgamation of what Walla Walla did and the PUDs have done some work, and we've all been comparing notes and talking about results, and that's how we ended up concentrating, for example, on the orifices rather than.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it may not be bad things if I cast one and pull together a thing, here's the design, here's the connection points we found that work, that kind of stuff, so we have to reinvent the wheel every time this comes up. I keep saying the same comments, but
Critic should
by the
time
do that.
We get it done,
we run out. Can you talk to Brian McElroy? He's our rant freely. I think that would be brilliant.
By the time we get that done, we've run out of bands.
Yeah, that's true. No, we got to go down to Willamette.
Well, I mean, the reason why this is...
We're already building them into the...
No, okay, good.
But Tom, I mean, to answer your question, the reason why this design turnaround time is relatively
sure.
quick is because we're piggybacking on what other people.
So when the new diffuser grading is built for these dams, you're going to want to make sure you design the new grading with the plating already attached.
Ooh, there
or something on the
integrated plating.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of orifices where the grading isn't quite.
Then you're going to want 3/4 inch, and then there'll be that issue.
That's a good
You're going to retire for
that. That's a thought. Down there. Yeah, what do I care?
You're retired for
that. I don't care.
Whatever.
Is that it?
Yeah, well, I guess I'd ask, do you folks want, I can, of course, get this out to you.
Trevor's here.
Files, but the
Never fear.
Question is, again, with funky minor mods schedule, and do you want to have some sort of formal review of this plan, or are you pretty satisfied with the way it's
I think we're good.
You guys are, that's all I got.
No,
I could just send the final
smooth
package. This is what we did.
I think you got everything. Is make it smooth.
As you can.
Make it smooth.
No sharp edges.
And then when you get done, either have us out or take a bunch of photos and take a look at what you did.
Yep. Sounds good. Okay.
I think that was reviewed. I put that on, check it off my list.
Well,
you say I never do anything.
Well, I'll add that as a 10%.
It criticizes pump and the bottle.
By the way, that looks really good. It's bumping into the bracket that was pre-existing out there. The tube is, but it's not. It's anchored in place while it's not moving.
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to go take a look at. When he says it's not.
Right? It's not moving. The pump's sitting in there in the water.
The pump for
the looked at it recently.
Oh, yeah, the LPS.
At the LPS at the Washington Shore. I'll look at it tomorrow.
Gary will give us the final word tomorrow.
When we, I mentioned that I talked to Chuck Boggs about doing some temporary attachment for the conduit. also asked him to think about a work plan for getting into the BRZ so that when we're doing that work, that you bring the boat in and, again, while the tailwater is fairly high, try to remove that existing pump bracket that's out there. Take, like, he was guessing, looking at it, it'd take 20 minutes if you're...
This is the one you built the project
that we didn't use.
The meat muster. Okay.
So,
but you're going to have to put it back in later to make it
permanent. No, we wouldn't use that bracket.
Be another one.
It'd be a different one.
The third version.
The
third version.
Third version. I hear making a good lawn art.
Yeah.
Tammy needs some.
What's that? There's lots of stuff in the boneyard. So we're going to talk about the one right now, right?
Yeah. That's why I can never
no. Before we do that.
Oh, we're going to talk JSATs?
Yeah, just a real quick.
You're just going to go thumbs up and then we'll move on, right?
Yep. Just a real quick update. So as you know, the injectable tag development is completed. I have all the documentation. And so have started the procurement process. And we'll see how that goes. Our goal was to have the contract in place by next year. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen probably for spring, but maybe for summer in time to use injectable tag in the summer. As with everything, contracting is freaking slow. And very, very, and very, very painful.
Minus one.
I know.
Well, no, I think we'll just delay the performance test for another year. Yeah. Let's delay the performance test for a year.
Tammy, that was on the web within seconds.
Yeah. So, Brad, with the new injectable tags, what's the smallest size? We'll basically match the size of the tags.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm glad I could do it for you.
Those studies are underway. Excellent. We have a study, you know, that we funded this year. On determining the size threshold,
okay.
How low can we go? It's sort of the limbo study.
Yep.
It's
an acronym.
And it's just an L.
Yeah.
Oh damn! I missed it. Yeah.
The other study going this summer is the verifying function of that tag in the river. So both of those are going forward, underway.
Yeah.
Daniel Ding there, he's got a crew that's actually manufacturing the tags. So, that's all on schedule going forward. Lamprey tag, juvenile lamprey tag. We had to go out with a source of sod, a request for information to contracting, wanted to make sure there wasn't somebody in the private sector that could do that work. So it got posted for two weeks. We got a response back from a well-known tag manufacturer that claims they can do that work. So I'm in the process of convincing contracting that no, they cannot.
I thought of that.
And so I met with them earlier this week, and so far they bought my argument. But see, so.
Yeah. So excuse me, Brad. What project was this for?
The juvenile lamprey tag.
Active tag for
development.
Development. Okay.
Development. You know, we tried to fund that last year. Contracting said, we tried to issue a MIPR to DOE, PNNL. Contract office said no. You need to do market research. So we've done that, and now I'm in the process of writing up why the company that submitted a response isn't qualified to do that work.
Okay.
And so hopefully we'll get that funded within the next month so that they can get moving. And so that's where we're at on that.
So, is that part of those funds that we prioritize in SCT? That we had excess funds and we all prioritized the support, so that is probably
it was. It's roughly $2.5 million. Okay. So okay. That's what it was last fall.
That's what we prioritized.
I'm sure it's gone up now, but
won't quote much. Just changes in labor rates, things like that. So that's where we're at on that. Next. Tom's favorite subject.
The Lord's Retirement Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got Gary. We got a date for Gary. Yeah. Now we got to leave a date for Tom.
Date for Tom, and you'd be free of pains in the asses.
No, we've got Ed to worry about.
Yeah, that's true. He'll be around a while.
Yeah, but he was a little lab at us yet.
So the...
Tom's going to be around a long time, too.
CFD modeling we were going to do to, you know, looking at the four-bay alternatives for this V2 trash rake improvement is not complete. It's very close, but...
Speak up a little bit.
Hydraulic Design is going to need to adjust their workload and finish this up soon. And once that's ready, the VE report should be ready to be sent out to Fitterwig. And then at that time, we'll probably schedule a special Fitterwig, possibly, you know, after folks can review it and talk about the alternatives in the VE report and the path forward. One thing we're looking at in the near future is possibly trying to get the district ROV to look at the existing trash rake and how effective it is. But to do that, you know, there's some fisheries issues there. Mm-hmm. We'd have to schedule it at a time where...
You have to have the fish units out?
Well, they'd have to be minimal flow.
Cut down.
Yeah, and we'd need at least 3 units on the north side of the powerhouse out.
Because of the ROV?
Because of the ROV.
Okay. Yeah. Oh.
So something, you know, those are things we're talking with the dive team, Todd Manny and Rick Benoit about.
Can you just rig an underwater camera to the rake?
Possibly, and we've been talking about that as well.
And not have a, yeah. Or just run the cable down.
Yeah.
That's.
The good thing about the ROV would be the ability to look at it from different angles and sure. You know, get down underneath. Especially where it's been plated off, you know, at elevation -9, and look to see what's going on down below and how the trash rake engages the debris down at the bottom. But yeah, we're trying, and we're hopefully going to get something out to the group here soon.
Are you guys anywhere close to having alternatives?
There were alternatives. You know, we're building off the 2001 DDR and the debris report from 2000. Do you guys recall those documents?
Yeah.
Okay, so in those reports, they identified that gripper style rake.
Yeah.
You know, but we've been working with a project, you know, on something fully automated versus semi-automated versus, you know.
We talked about like an Atlas Core for a while.
You know, a brand new. Yeah, rake itself, brand new manual rake versus rehabbing the existing rake.
Yeah.
Looked at, you know, additional screening in the head gate slots and in the gate wells and stuff like that. And, you know, the top alternative, of course, was this four-bay flow modification.
Yeah.
And that's what we're waiting on is the CFD results for that to put it together. You know, they had a four-bay berm that they had looked at years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's looking like no matter what, you still need to do the O&M on the system, and dredging is a component of that, and it's a very important component.
Speaking of that, have we done dredging?
Yes.
And should we have, like, pre and post any hydro surveys, that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Yes, it's around the web.
Well, you might send an email also, so else might know that, other than having to break into email conversations that people are having.
Yeah, that should be incorporated into the VE report, and that information will be sent out. So I wish I had more for you, but
this has kind of been a burn cell for a while. So.
But this team is determined to put it to rest. So
I hope so.
So John, do you think by the next Fitterwig, the team could be prepared to provide more detail?
Soon as that VE report is ready, and I'm hoping it's prior to the next Fitterwig, we're going to send that out and then let folks review it and determine, you know, if we need to schedule something special.
Okay.
And or by the next bidder, we hopefully have something more comprehensive we can discuss. Look at the alternatives, talk about where we want to go.
Okay.
Anything else on the trash rates?
Nope. What are you going to do with the existing one that's never been used? I think that needs to go to Tom's front yard.
No, that's terrible.
Waste about what?
More lawn art.
65 tons or something like that.
You can put it by the MGR.
Still right there next to the old turbine.
I think, yeah, the captain's laid up at our husband.
Yeah, but it's, that doesn't have historical significance.
Oh, yes, it does.
I sort of.
The lower is the more.
Scrap metal.
It's all it is a very large amount of scrap metal.
Okay.
One last follow-up on that. Sorry.
Bro. You said you were done.
I know, but then my brain synapse is actually fired. So have we coordinated with the Lamprey group to determine what we're doing with trash
yes.
rack size?
Yes. If you know whatever's done in the floor bay to address debris is not going to prohibit the change to three-quarter grading.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was that you're still tracking that because I
yes.
That'd be great. Hey, we solved the problem. Oh, but now we can change the rack size.
What?
You know, that's something. No matter what you have on the floor bay side, you're going to get fine debris.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know, right. Stuff's going to get through the spacing, and you're going to have to do maintenance in your AWS. There's no maintenance-free system out there that's going to work.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure. Yeah. What we don't need, though, is this big wave of debris, especially the capricular clams and all
yes.
that coming in. That's where it's some way to stop that from flowing.
There'll be recommendations, in our supplement to this DDR, and one of them is going to be, regular monitoring of the floor bay, so you can plan for a winter maintenance period.
Right. Just
and I think it would be convenient to do that monitoring at the same time the fish ladder's out for the August inspection.
Right. Oh, okay. Right.
And then you can plan for your winter maintenance period.
Right. Whether you need it or not.
Yeah.
What's that?
To do that survey, we'd have to close the corner collector.
I don't know.
I think we might have to.
You know, it's on the fish unit side of the powerhouse.
We need to do that.
If they got the survey boat in there, I mean, if they're just dropping an ROV, that'd be one thing. But if we brought the boat in to do the survey, because that was a discussion we had with the FPP. It was an FPP change form, and we originally had it as with the August fishway inspection. And you didn't like that because of the potential to have to close the corner collector, so it was just any time after August and still enough time to get a contract in place.
It would be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tammy, could you... I think it seems to me that there were quite a few action items.
Did you expect me to record those?
Huh? Yes, I was. Could you... You have that. You have them easily listed already.
I do.
Can you go through them.
I have
please?
For avian predation. Sandra will schedule an avian meeting with Walla Walla and the rest of the region. And Frederick suggested including division as well. For the AFF mods, Verisich will take the lead in getting a AAR coordinated. For Bond FGE, Project Fisheries will work to get photos of the VBSs prior to the riggers spraying them down. And for TSP, Verisich will send out a revised BIT to the region. Those are the main ones I had as action items.
Where the VE report's going to go out.
And then the VE report, you want that one.
And then Medina, I think, said extended the BIT report review to June 30th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't really count that as an action.
Action for me.
Okay.
I will note that Lors will have comments.
No, so don't put that. Don't formalize
30
that.
June. It's in there. Too bad. All right.
I'm going to pull my hide card out.
Cash.
Oh, Lord.
We still have them on contract, so be careful.
All righty. Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's it for Fitterway.
Not quite.
Not quite?
No, I got one other thing. Bonneville Spillway.
We data from Patel.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Data mining?
I'm still very concerned about the spillway. I'm still, you know, I mean, I know Lurie was looking at rock movement, and that I don't know where that is. I'd like to hear an update on that, when at least in August, again, if there's anything that she's planning on doing with that. It was just kind of dropped. We had an Arctic trip earlier in the year, or December, maybe it was last year, where we, I think, it, I don't remember which one, maybe both. And we looked at that. She was looking at it as both. And I don't know where that is. And, I mean, she said, well, we may be building a wall down there, a short wall, stub wall, some other things. And I don't know what happened to that. And then the other part of it was looking at trying to get at the issue of a low mortality rate through the spillway and data mining and looking at different rates of survival through different bays or groups of bays and that kind of thing horizontally. So there's, I think it's really, it is important getting at the next round of performance studies for that project that we keep working on the spillway.
I talked to Gene on Plofsky on Tuesday about the data mining, where they're at. They have a you know, they're taking the years of data, they're putting it all together. That's nearly completed, and at that point right. They can then start answering the initial questions: how many fish we got, and how are we going to look at the data? You know, and the way that we planned this was that they would stop at that point, brief us, and then we will decide on the best way to move forward as far as analysis. And so what I initially asked was, and he said it would be simple to do, is to have it ready by the next fitter week. We could do it sooner, if need be. He's going to let me know when it is ready, and so it, depending on when that is, then we could have a special fitter week or something, or have him come in and brief us at the next fitter week.
So, it seems to me, is that, how are you funding that?
It's CRFIP.
Right, but I mean, is it under the survival studies?
Yes, we just amended that member. It was still open, so we just amended that.
It just kind of occurred to me that maybe there ought to be a separate one pager in here for that.
It's already, they're working on it.
Done and covered.
Yeah, done and covered. Didn't we? We had a one pager that we.
There's a one pager.
So under the 13 package, not the 14.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that follows up. Where are we at in that database? Development for the
it's all it's user database.
It's one of those things I just keep. It's on my list of things to do to get out, how to access it, and how to get access to it. It's just one of those things I keep forgetting to do.
Okay.
So sorry.
So, but you're saying the system's up and
it's up. I mean, you know, in fact, you know, the researchers have been. I think that's where they're getting their data from.
String?
And so
maybe a rubber band. I don't think that would really actually work. He wouldn't remember it long enough. But if he had a string, he'd probably get it back to his office.
Why
is that on there?
So, question on the database: the information that we're looking for, quantum spillway, is that type of detail going to be in that database, or is it more not so route specific as particular bays?
No, I think it's more at. No, I don't believe it'll be available at that level.
Every fish, you know, every rat.
So I was thinking if that was already up, then it'd be easy for those guys to get all that.
Actually, I think that maybe that is, because that's one of the variables that's included with each fish. Mm-hmm. But then it's not gonna. I don't know that it'll have. We're gonna have different layers of access.
We'll get a look at it.
We'll just be detection history.
We'll be able to open
the
open it. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to look at
it.
And see the front the
front end. The front end, yeah. Do not use.
I have a picture of me on it.
That's it.
Who's the back end picture?
You, John? Since you asked. So, yeah.
The
donkey's body.
The meeting's over.
Anything else?
Yeah, that was it.
Hey, SRWG, after lunch. I don't know, what time is it?
Well, not quite there. 10 till or so?
Send me out 10
till. Good, so.
Pretty good.
Are you
going to
move it up a little bit?
Huh? Be specific, please.
What time?
Yeah.
What did I say, 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
Well, your email said 1:30. But I can start sooner than that.
But others that aren't on this call that are going to call in will call in at 1:30.
This was based on the email you sent out June 4th.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure how long Fitterwick was going to go, so I wanted to have a little bit of slop in there.
You got to hear it at 2 o'clock.
So let's just plan on 1:30.
Okay.
All right. I'll be back.
Okay, thank you, Wilbur.
Betcha.
We can call back in then.
Yes.
1:30.
Yes.
And for those of you that weren't on the real call yesterday, delightful. The court is going to continue spring operations till June.